The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos.
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all their stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then groomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old, I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Arthard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Arthard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Jets Week, and I am psyched up. Ah, what a day today. S-U-C-K. That's right. So we're getting ready for the Jets coming in here Sunday, 4:15 game at Gillette. Everybody's buzzing around the stadium, getting ready. It's going to be a packed house. These tickets have been hard to get and hard to find. I'm telling you, it's, you know, usually there's, you know, a little cache of tickets you can go to that marketing has or something like that. You know, if you really need something for somebody, a VIP, sort of like when you go to a hotel, they always have a room if, you know, the President of the United States shows up. Believe me, they've got a room for him. There are no tickets available. I don't know. Maybe in some of these, you know, the StubHubs and everything, there might be some, but nothing around here. It is going to be a packed house, and I hope a loud house for the Patriots, because they're going to need all the help they can get. The Jets, yeah, they've lost two in a row, but they've got a tough defense. They match up well with the Patriots. It's going to take everything that the Patriots have to pull off this AFC East win, and it's an important win. They've already dropped one in the AFC East to the Bills, so right now they're just 1-1 in the AFC East. They got to win this game, got to win your home games. So I'm excited. It's going to be great. I can't wait. I just wish it was today, but if it was today, we wouldn't be doing PFW in Progress. So let's thank goodness for that. We'll be here until 2 o'clock, taking your emails, webradio@patriots.com. Your phone calls on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 down here at the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios. So today's media day. Rex Ryan did his conference call. Bill Belichick had a press conference, and that's why the guys are a little bit late. Actually, here they come as I speak. So they'll fill us in on everything that's gone on so far this morning with Rex Ryan and Bill Belichick and anyone else.
Disappointing, Freddie.
You're disappointed.
I am a little disappointed. I did. I checked out the Rex Ryan conference call.
Yeah.
And, he was actually pretty normal.
Eating a bunch of f***ing cheeseburgers.
He's toned it down a little?
Yeah, I mean, he's still very confident.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that he's backing down. But a little bit subdued. Had a couple of jokes here and there. Sarcastically talking about Welker, saying he really needs to pick it up.
Yeah.
Thinks he's struggling a little bit. The offense in general in New England, you know, thinks they're struggling a little bit. But, you know, nothing, you know, no real bulletin board material. A couple of good one-liners, but that's about it. You know, we can get into more of, you know, the exact words and
now,
whatnot.
Now, were you with Brady?
I wasn't, but I heard he got a little upset with a New York writer.
Well, that's why Caesar in Pleasanton, California writes in right off the bat, He wants to know if we saw the Brady conference. He said he looked pissed.
Yeah, I was at Rex at the time that Brady was talking, so I did not.
Eric
but
there,
I assume someone was. Andy told me about it. Andy didn't see it because Andy was trying to get Logan Mankins. So I'm not sure if Eric was in there, but evidently they kept asking him about, Cromartie's remarks.
Right.
You know, and he reiterated that he stands by what he said, although he has tremendous respect for Brady, which to me doesn't really seem to mix.
Right.
But he said, I guess the guy persisted. It was a New York Post guy, evidently.
Right, trying to egg him on.
And he just kept persisting. Well, how did you respond to that or whatever? And I guess he got a little bit short with him, and then he was like, all right, guys, and he walked off. He ended the basically.
So were people mad at the New York Post guy?
I don't know. I wasn't in there to hear it, like I said. But
well, maybe I don't know where Kevin went. I was just thinking maybe he could watch it because I'm sure it's going to be up on Patriots.com.
Yeah, I mean, it was close to an hour ago at this point, so it might be already up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if I'd have to hear the tone, but I don't think it doesn't sound to me like Brady was out of line in any way. I think he just
right. So going back to
got,
Rex
got
Ryan.
Annoyed.
You're saying he hasn't backed off, but not the usual bravado?
Well, he didn't come in guaranteeing wins or anything like that, but he said, you know, that I think he was asked a question about going against, you know, when he came here, and he said he made no bones of the fact that he was stacking himself against the Patriots, comparing himself to the Patriots, how he thought that was working. And, you know, he said, clearly this is a great football team, talking about the Patriots. They have the best coach in the league, arguably the best quarterback in the league. You know, New England is the best team in the league, and that's what we want to be. We're not backing down to anybody.
Right.
So I don't want to say that he's lacking confidence, because
right.
he's not.
Right.
But it just didn't have the, you know, headline material quotes, you know, Rex, : guarantees win over Patriots. He didn't
right.
say any of that.
Right.
You know, I thought it was interesting in the past when someone would ask him, who's Revis going to cover? He would say who Revis was going to cover. This time he said, well, you know, we'll find, he'll be on someone, he said. And then he goes, how's that work for you? Or something like that. He goes, well, I just was wondering if you knew who. And he said, well, yeah, we know who, but we don't have to tell you.
Right.
He goes, you know, whether it's Wes Welker or Deion Branch or Ocho Cinco or Randy Fataha. You know, we don't have to tell you who it's going to be. So I think in the past he might have said, yeah, you know, Revis
right.
is going to be on Branch.
Right.
But,
interesting.
You know, so a little bit different approach from him. I don't think he was less confident, just not the brash,
right.
bombastic kind of headline-grabbing quotes that we're used to.
Andy's here. Andy, tell us what happened. You look tired. Are you tired?
Really.
A little pale?
Hello.
No, your mic's not on. That's good. Andy's mic's
right.
not. Why don't you move over to another mic?
No, my guess is that's not on either. He probably pots them up when people are here.
That's funny, because I just saw him in the hall, and he said, yours is already potted up. Just turn it on.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, right. I gave him too much credit.
All right, well, we'll have to wait for Andy to talk. Nope, nothing. Okay.
I got nothing from you.
I guess Kevin.
To quote Andy during the podcast every week, I can't hear you.
No.
Wait a minute.
It's not working.
Can I hear? I think I
can't
no?
hear. No? No.
I thought I heard him on that
one. I thought I heard him.
No.
Maybe it's just because you're closer to me now and I can hear you.
Well, maybe you could share a mic, Andy, because.
Here you go. Why don't you come over here?
Did you hear what happened with Tom Brady?
I did. I wasn't. Whoa.
Sorry about that.
I was not in there. But I was related the story from one of our friends at Comcast New England, Mary Paoletti, or Paoletti, however you say it. And basically someone from the New York Post, a New York writer, was hammering him a little bit, I guess, on the Antonio Cromartie feud, quote unquote, and the fact that he called him an a-hole last year, and this week he said he stood by it.
Right.
And Brady didn't want to talk about it, and the guy kept going, and finally Brady just said, all right, thanks, guys. You know how he ends them when he,
right.
like, post-game? Well, he just ended it. And I noticed it because I was in the locker room waiting to talk to Logan Mankins, and Brady wasn't gone to the podium for more than a few minutes. It was quick. It was very, very quick. And he came through, and he was kind of marching through. He clearly wasn't happy with how it unfolded. Typical. Those
yeah.
New York Post guys always trying to stir up trouble.
Well, has Cromartie said anything since last
week? He said, I stand by it this week.
Cromartie said, I stand by what I said last year.
Yeah, earlier this week. Brady hasn't said anything since.
I know you said that, Paul. I'm just engaging him.
But
somebody might have just tuned in.
Yes. Tom Brady was not happy with the line of questioning regarding Antonio Cromartie. I thought Bill had a little bit of an edge in his, too.
Oh, yeah?
I thought he snapped a little bit at Mike Reese for asking Aaron Hernandez, has he, you know, improved or any say, we'll see how it goes today, just like every Wednesday, same thing every Wednesday. I thought he gave Mike Reese a little attitude, and, you know, I thought it was unwarranted.
Well, that's he's.
But I give people attitudes.
He just
sometimes
doesn't want people asking about injury status because he's just not going to give it to you.
And then Hernandez came through the locker room with no sign of a limp, no brace or anything, and I believe was actually mocking us media members because he turned to Deion Branch and Chad Ochocinco and actually he had long shorts on and he actually pulled them up to expose both knees and they all laughed a big laugh. I think he was mocking the media, knowing people are going to observe his knee and what he's wearing, how he's limping, but he looked fine.
Good.
So. You know, the reports are from Ian Rappaport that he's going to play this week, that he originally reported as a 1 to 2 week injury, and he's going to be back out there. We'll see. I don't know that to be true, but he's certainly not limping around or dragging the leg or anything. He was heading into the trainer's room, so there's still an issue, obviously. But
well, that's good news. You know, the Patriots will issue their first injury report today, which will tell you who participated and who didn't.
Right.
And it doesn't give you the status for the game, but if he did not participate in everything, it'll say that. And if he didn't participate at all, it'll say that as well.
Now we can participate in ripping numbnuts.
Hey, Kevin, is he in there?
Yeah, he just came back through.
Yeah, we need to pot him up. Okay, so I think you can move over there now, Andy. So
one guy who will not be practicing today for the Jets will be Plaxico Burress.
Oh, yeah?
Who evidently had an elbow blow up on him, so he won't practice today, according to Rex.
You said turn your mic on.
But
I pushed the button to turn my mic on. I don't touch that board behind the glass. That's your area. You said you had everything ready. That was the most useless conversation I've ever had in the hallway with you. No, it's all ready for you. Just turn your mic on. It's all potted up.
All right.
So he won't practice.
So Plaxico Burress will not be practicing. Doesn't mean he won't play.
One example of Rex being Rex, though. Yeah, no, it sounds to me like he'll play. It's a minor injury, but... element of Rex being Rex was talking about Mangold. You know, I think the question was posed to him: Is the problems that you've had in the offensive line, is it fixable by, you know, adding a player, or is it something that just needs to improve? And he said, "Well, I'd like to add Nick Mangold back into that mix. Anytime you're missing the best center in football, you know, anybody would be affected by it." You know, no disrespect to, I think it's Corey Baxter. Is that the guy who played last week that was in and out of the lineup? You know, but, you know, anytime you're missing the best center in football, you know, hopefully you'll be ready to go this week.
That is a good one of those minor juxtapositions, whereas if you ask Bill Belichick if someone's the best, I don't know, I don't rank them. This guy, unsolicited, you know, the best center in football.
Well, according to Rex, he has about 18 of the best players in football at their respective positions.
When in reality... He might be right on Mangold. I mean, that's Revis, as it's certainly plausible.
I'm not making fun of this particular
those
one.
Those are the two.
But that's a Rex Ryan-like comment. Most coaches would not say their player is the best in the league. Tom Brady certainly is the best quarterback in football. I haven't heard Brady say Belichick say that an awful lot. He said many times, there's no quarterback I'd rather have. And I suppose that semantics, you could argue, that's the same thing. But
do you guys get the sense at all that they might be rushing Mangold back?
No, because I think he gave a really good shot to play last week. He went through the whole process last week, and they held him out.
Yeah. I just get a sense that he's not going to be anywhere near 100%.
Well, he won't be. He definitely won't be.
So then I'm right.
No, but he could have played last week is my point.
But not.
So if they were rushing him back, he would have rushed back to play last week.
There goes the semantics argument.
Not anywhere near 100%, though.
Oh, no. Now, you're right. He did turn it because he took it for he won't be 100% to not anywhere near 100%.
And they're rushing him, and he won't be ready. Is Aaron Hernandez, if he plays, going to be 100%?
Is he being rushed back?
No.
Well, I don't know. One report had it as like a six-week injury.
Is Albert Hainsworth being rushed back?
No.
So then why is Nick Mangold being rushed back?
Just my sense.
Okay.
You have no sense. And I mean that in the most literal sense.
And I agree with you on all accounts. I don't think Hernandez is being rushed back, and I don't believe Hainsworth is. I'm 100% with you. But I think Mangold could have played last week.
Little Birdie told me that Hainsworth wanted to play last week, but they held him out.
Did a little birdie tell you if Hainsworth made the trip?
He did not.
He did not.
Tell you or did not make the trip?
I don't think he made the trip.
Oh, okay.
At least I didn't see him.
Oh, okay.
And he's hard to disguise.
He is a big man.
Yeah. So,
Paul, I have an update out of the Patriots locker room that'll interest maybe only you and I.
Oh, Pat Patriot in full force, by the way, Freddie. The throwback helmets. Go ahead.
You're done?
Yeah.
I already tweeted that out. And then apparently somebody stole my photo, but that's a different topic. Do you know I had to get that approved also? To send a picture of the helmets out of the locker room?
What?
Yeah, through the PR department. But that's another side issue. Asked Steven Gostkowski about his tape ball today, and it's been retired. He's starting a new one. And the game that shall not be named screwed up things more than anyone would ever know. That ball was started in the 07 season or active in the 07 season and was a lucky ball. And he was planning on selling it on eBay if they won the Super Bowl. And that plan went out the window when they didn't. See how much that screwed things up and changed lives?
Tell you, it would have been worth a lot of money if he did.
So he's starting another one. I asked him if Mr. Kraft knew he was using tape to start a tape ball, and he goes, shh.
Now he does.
I go, you're gonna see that. Your check next week is going to be deducted for tape. I also saw the luggage I think I ordered in the locker room. There's a tweener size.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm pretty sure I ordered the tweener size, not the I could stuff Eric in it size. Well. But anyway, that's a separate topic.
Oh, well. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. Olivier was in, I guess, and left us some nice chocolate from
Lawrence?
Belgium.
Oh, isn't that the best chocolate, Belgian chocolate?
Supposedly. Paul's digging in as I speak.
And a separate note, I did
it goes well on pizza, Paul.
I did my interview with Logan Mankins for Patriots Football Weekly Television this week, yeah. So fans can look forward to that Thursday night, 7:30, Comcast. Friend of the show, Logan Mankins, loves us.
Does he?
Oh, he does. He likes us a lot. I also spoke with him about a little tidbit we'll have in the upcoming PFW when his family canceled their subscription to Patriots Football Weekly, wrote right on the invoice, cancel, Logan's not playing from last year.
He doesn't play anymore.
So that'll you can see an actual picture or scan or whatever you want to call it of the invoice from Mr. Betty and Ed Mankins, the grandparents of Logan, Logan's dad's parents.
Okay.
When they canceled last year, and he said they're two of his biggest supporters, have always gone to his games, and that kind of plays in line with how they are as people. And he thought it was really, he didn't know about it till I told him, and he thought it was really funny.
He thought it was funny? That's good. We always want to make him laugh. Yeah. Leave him laughing.
Exactly. And you know what I was thinking? Because he's ascended to the throne of my favorite Patriot, which, you know, was formerly held by James Sanders.
No, we didn't know that.
My two, is it interesting that they both come from the same school? Could that be telling in any way, the program Pat Hill runs out there and produces?
And you do
people?
Love Pat Hill.
No, I do,
When you talk to him.
Well, there you go.
I mean, do you think?
I think.
Coincidence that you got two good players, two great guys out of it?
I think it probably isn't a coincidence.
That he's a leader of men and he produces good people.
A leader of men.
Yes. You think he'll be around another 14 years, Paul, so I can send Jackson there? Probably not, huh? He's already been there like 12. I'm not sure he's good.
You never, he could be a Joe Pa kind of guy. You never know.
I heard a rumor this morning that someone thought Pat Hill was leaving there a while back and Mike Martz was going to take over. Can you imagine that?
No.
Mike Martz at Fresno State? That's like Jerry Tarkanian when he was there. It's Fresno State. How are they getting these big name controversial characters?
Well, the only thing is with Tark, he was, UNLV was the same kind of school as Fresno State.
Right.
Other than we talked about Brady, we talked about Rex Ryan, we talked about Belichick. Anything else this morning that we need to catch? Well,
practice squad transaction. A big upper-bodied corner by the name of Sterling Moore has been added to the practice squad, replacing Victoria.
Josh Victorian.
Queen.
Is it Josh?
Josh
Victorian.
Oh, it's Ian.
I think it's Victorian.
It's Victorian.
Disregard a tweet that may have said Victoria.
Well, you just go with it. It changed.
Well, it was one of those weird moves that it wasn't announced. Mike Reese asked a question if they had a practice squad move, and Bill said, yeah, we're going to bring in Sterling Moore and give him a try. And Mike said, well, do you have to make a move? And he said, yeah, Victoria's out. And then I asked Stacy for the first name, and he said, I don't know. Ask Mike Reese.
Strippers, his detective self sends in photographic evidence that your photo was stolen by Shalice.
Oh, yeah, he was the one who pointed it out. I don't know. She probably just took the same photo. It was kind of the, you know, you take it so you can kind of see all the photo, the helmets down the line at every locker.
Right.
Plus, they don't want you taking any photos into lockers to show personal items.
Personal stuff.
Oh, another side note. Sorry. And I'm just all over the place today. But
you are unbelievable.
In my discussion with Steven Gostkowski, who I told was going to get and getting to know in the paper, because he complained when we did Zoltan Mesko, oh, he gets all softball questions. When I was here, as my first and second year, was Adam Vinatieri this and Adam Vinatieri that. And he said an example was he had a bottle of Pepto-Bismol in his locker before the week before his first playoff game, which would be, I don't know when that is. Paul, help me out here. Memory. How long
Jets,
you've been here.
Jets, 06.
Okay.
And, wild card game.
They wrote a story that was
16.
Proof that he was nervous and had an upset stomach looking ahead to his first playoff game.
Right.
Like, that was his example of how crazy it was for him versus me asking Fulton Mesko what his first pet was.
Right.
So, I can't imagine someone would write that. He had Pepto-Bismol in his locker.
That's a good story, though. I never heard that, the Pepto story. That's a good story.
Yeah.
I mean, it's borderline. Mark McGwire had Andro in his locker.
You know, it is interesting, though, because they're both technically special teams kickers, obviously. But, you know, when you're a place kicker, there is the chance that the game could be on
right.
your foot.
You will never have right. your name in a positive headline as a punter. As a kicker, you can win or lose a game. The
right.
only way a punter gets recognized is if he
yeah.
has a punt blocked yeah. for a touchdown or something.
Mesko's punt seals game.
No, never will you ever, ever read that.
Right.
But you can, you know, 63-yard field goal in overtime
right.
from Gostkowski wins it or whatever.
You had that playoff game a couple years ago where the Colts and the Chargers played, and Mike Cyphers had, like, literally five downed inside the 10.
Right.
Just an otherworldly game for a punter, and you didn't see
right.
Cyphers leads Chargers
right.
pass goal.
But at the end
no
of the game.
But he won the game.
Right.
I mean, his punting won that game.
Right.
But you didn't see people. I mean, it was part of the story, obviously.
And you never will.
But, yeah, that's
the life of a.
But that's so proof.
That
you
shouldn't
can't.
Be the song.
Well,
should be
I was
the life
at,
of the punter should
were
be
you
the
at the game at the old Foxborough Stadium when O'Neal just melted in front of everybody?
I was. It was against Carolina.
Yeah.
The first year Carolina was an expansion team, we lost to them in overtime.
Right.
20-17.
And I've never seen a punter just, you know, just one after another just shanked them. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, he had like a 20-yarder in overtime where Carolina took over
yeah.
like around midfield.
But give him credit. He stood in front of his locker after that game and answered every question.
And said, I'll be currently looking
right.
for employment.
And then the next day he was cut.
He was cut.
Yeah. But, yeah, I've never seen anything like that from a kicker. Vanderjack, that one game where he...
Vanderjack is one of the only kickers that I could ever... You know, I shouldn't say one of the only, but one of the most glaring examples where you could actually see him choke.
Yeah.
You could see the moment got to him on a number of occasions I could think of. I mean, do you remember that miracle comeback the Colts had in the Monday night game against the Bucks? They were just talking about it this past Monday when he missed the first kick badly, and then they got called for leaping. And they got
right.
another try, and he banked it in off the... I mean, you could visibly see him. He was nervous
yeah.
on those kicks. The Pittsburgh one in the playoffs, countless. The one here
yep.
on opening day.
That's right.
He just doesn't kick the ball the same way when it's pressure.
I think he's drunk.
He might be.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. A lot of emails coming in. Obviously, people are... jacked up about Jets Week. Are you guys excited about Jets Week as I am? I'm very excited.
I am, but I'm more intrigued than excited because, to me, neither team is playing great football. It's not, you know, the battle of 4-0s for the AFC East.
Right.
You have a dangerous Jets team that's lost two in a row. I think their defense is questioning itself, is being questioned. Their offense, their running game, their whole philosophy is being questioned. And you have a Patriots team that the defense is a question
right.
heading in. So it's different. I mean, there's intrigue here. There always will be.
I think part of the intrigue kind of makes it exciting for me.
It is.
I really don't know what's going to happen.
But I'd be more excited if I truly thought you were seeing two of the top four teams in football play, and I'm not sure that's the case.
I think you are. It's just you
maybe.
Know, in the AFC, you are, certainly.
Maybe.
It's just that the level of play isn't that good this year.
I think the Jets could blow up. I think they're the type of team that could blow up because they're
absolutely.
Emotionally driven, they're emotionally coached.
Absolutely. At some point, you know, you keep hearing your coach saying this stuff, and you're like, geez, it's, you know.
Well, it's not just him. I mean, let's go back to Bill. I just can't get this team to play the way
right.
I want it to.
Oh, yeah, but he wouldn't say that.
Right.
Yeah.
But when you're an emotional team, when you live by that sword, you can die by it. And I also don't think it's good for Rex Ryan to rein anything in. Because they're struggling. If anything, to me, you have to be consistent. If you're bombastic when you're 3-0,
oh, yeah.
you need to be bombastic at 2-2.
You have to go down swinging.
I don't want
to.
No, I don't mean just you.
Yeah,
I just mean
I don't want to misstate it though, because I don't want to. I think that I don't think he said anything outrageous, but I don't think he's reining it in either. I mean, like he said, you know, they asked him about the defense. You know, struggling on defense, struggling stopping the run, and he said, yeah, you know, listen, that was we played a horrible. He said we played a horrible game in Oakland. Where we just absolutely could not set the edge. And that's an embarrassment. And we came into, you know, we came off that game 31st in the league in rushing. That's not Jets football. We're not going to be that. I expect when all is said and done, we'll be back up around the top that we always are. So I don't want to make it sound like he was this shrinking wallflower all of a sudden. Well, geez, I hope we can get it back. In no uncertain terms, he expects to be one of the top three or four defenses in football. And that's what he said. I was looking for the, you know, and Andy mentioned this on our TV show. Maybe he'll say something crazy. Or maybe not. Well, he chose the maybe not. He didn't say anything crazy.
Right.
And I was expecting him to say something crazy.
Okay, while you think, I thought it was interesting that, because you just have a blank look on your face and staring into space. I thought it was really funny that Bill said, you know, you look at that Jacksonville game, and, you know, they did this well. They played a terrible football team. Bill was urging everyone, don't take too much out of the Ravens game. We've all had those bad days.
And I would agree with that.
The Oakland game swung on a couple plays. But you look at that Jacksonville game, they're a bad football team, Phil. I can't just take a team's best game against its worst opponent and say that's who they are.
I'm not ignoring that. You can't ignore the Oakland game. There was some warning signs. And now I think it was a fluke the way Bill's clever, you know, because he's right in what he says. The game turned on a fluke. The game turned when Cromartie mishandled the kick. And all of a sudden, the Raiders got a cheap touchdown to make it a 14-point game. But that masks the problems that they had throughout the game, if you just focus on that.
Right.
They had problems throughout that game. And, you know, Baltimore, those kind of games can happen to anybody. They had a hard time protecting Sanchez, and the Ravens are one of those teams that if you don't have your act together up front, they're going to make life difficult on you, and they did. And how many games have you ever seen where the defense scores three touchdowns like that in the team and you win?
Right.
You're not going to overcome that. I don't care who you are.
I think at the time, the Ravens might have had 24, 27 points, something like that, and they had only had like
Joe Flacco
15
completed,
yards of passing.
Joe Flacco completed
like
one pass after the first quarter in the game, I believe.
For 15, and that was
it. And that was it. And, you know, listen, they got off to a good start, but if the Jets don't help them so much with the turnovers, it's probably a regular nip and tuck game like the opener was last year when those two teams played 10-9. You know, you're looking at 34-17, you're like, wow, you know, Ravens must have really brought it. Well, no, they really didn't. They brought it defensively, but they didn't bring it offensively.
I think they scored, 10 points on offense or something like that? I'm not sure.
13, I think.
13?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was an odd game.
Interesting news out of New York. Nick Mangold is in pads practicing with the first unit on offense.
Does he look rushed?
I don't know.
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, lots of emails, lots of calls. We'll get right to them.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights, all right from the palm of your hand.
So, what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Bats interception, yes!
Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet, anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening a seamstress.
Oh, that tie back is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Oh, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
From the photos, Eddie was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk. Just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sturger photos available. See why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight. Matter of fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline down here at the Broadcast Fresh Subway Studios.
Close enough.
Subway Fresh.
Broadcast Fresh.
Well, we are live, so that makes it fresh, right?
Right. And web radio at patriots.com is the email address.
Freddie, can I bring something up before you go to emails or anything? Or do you want to go to emails?
No, go ahead.
Well, you had mentioned the hype for the Jets and if we were as excited as you were and kind of an element. I'm not as excited. I don't know why. And I think maybe it's because of Andy's point about it's the Jets. The Jets aren't playing that well. So to me, it's not the Battle of Titans that it was, say, for that Monday night game last year.
I see what you did there. They used to be called the New York Titans, right?
That's not what I did. You didn't see what I did. But I have a question for you.
Oh, are they wearing those?
I don't know what they'll wear. Will they wear those ugly ones that they wear?
Because we're wearing ours.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
I don't
Sorry.
Know. They're having a whole side conversation now, and he's not going to hear me.
No, so I wouldn't say it. Let's you and I start a different conversation.
I have a legitimate question. We kind of talked about this shooting all access. Who do you think this game is bigger for?
Oh, the Jets, by far.
Okay.
I think it's a must-win for the Jets. If they go 2-3 and lose to the Patriots and lose, I think it's a debacle for them.
Well, I mean, aren't they supposed to lose? They're 10-point
Well, 9.5. Yeah, I think people are expecting them to – what did you – you used a good phrase I didn't know yesterday. Circling the drain or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're doing that, and people are projecting. I think the whole Joe Namath thing, I think people are questioning Mark Sanchez again.
Everything you're saying is 100% accurate, and I think there's a little bit more pressure on the Patriots, and I'll tell you why. Given all of that, given the fact that the Jets are in disarray right now, given the fact that they can't stop anybody right now, given the fact that Sanchez is coming off a terrible game, and they're on their third straight road game in the midst of a two-game lead, they've lost the first two. how can the Patriots lose if they lose this game? What do they do? They're going to deal with a whole season worth of, I don't care how many wins you have, can you beat the Jets in a game that matters?
It's true.
So I think there's a lot of pressure on the Patriots, too.
It's true.
And I didn't really think of that until today.
I agree. I think there is pressure on the Patriots.
Now, the Patriots are supposed to win the game. Right?
The
9.5 point
favorites?
The line
went from 4 to 9 or yeah. something like that?
It went from 4 to 9? I thought it went from 7 to 9.
No. It opened up at like 4 or 5.
So clearly everybody thinks the Patriots are going to win this game.
Jeff in Vegas, if you're listening, could you?
I'm pretty sure it opened up between 4 and 5.
Yeah, Freddie, you might not know Jeff. He's Andy and I's resident bookmaker expert.
Well, he's not actually making book for you.
No, but he's actually in Vegas.
Right.
Following this stuff very well.
Fred wanted to clear that up quickly.
Well, yeah, and I would think you would
but
want that cleared
him
up, too.
I don't really know what it means.
I called him an expert, not a bookmaker. I said he's a bookmaking expert.
Right.
Doesn't mean he is a bookmaker.
So if you place a bet with somebody, they're making book.
They're making book.
What does that mean?
I mean, I guess maybe in the day they kept everything in a book. I'm not sure.
That's what you used to have to find, right?
It comes from England. I know it's an English term. Betting is huge, and they bet on everything. Over in the old country.
Really?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Legally?
Oh, yeah.
Or illegally?
No, legal.
Legally.
And how is it?
Like, Wimbledon
done?
Is one of the most highly bet on sporting events in the world.
So, do they have, like, betting parlors and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
How didn't we stumble on one of those in London when we were wandering the streets?
Because I didn't need to stumble on anything. I have enough of the itch, Andy. I don't need to have
it. I put 17 pounds on Manchester United tonight.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dan's
like
betting on.
Then I would be in debt up to my eyeballs.
Dan's in Boston.
Countries.
Hey, Dan.
How's it going, guys?
We're doing great. How about you? You were
good,
getting ready for Jets week?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm actually the guy who was at Foxborough for the draft service dog.
The draft what?
The
service dog.
Okay, yep.
And Fred wanted to pet your dog, and he didn't.
But
he was
you're not supposed to.
I know, you're supposed to ask.
Right.
You can ask.
I felt a little shy.
Yeah.
I felt a little shy.
You ask.
Yeah.
Definitely. But, it's good to see that Paul and Andy are on speaking terms after yesterday. I thought you guys were going to come to blows or something like that.
Yeah, we actually got a lot of emails, which I'll get to, really worrying about Paul's health.
My Twitter line was blowing up last night.
Was it? Mm-hmm.
That's what we do.
That is what we do.
I mean,
although,
he quit on a TV fight once. I don't think I can get worse than that.
No mas?
Yeah, I was worried about him.
He's
but,
fine.
You don't have to worry. You don't. It's very nice, and I appreciate it, but you don't need to worry about me. I'm okay.
Okay, cool. Yeah, actually, I wanted to say hi to you when I was at the draft, but you guys were walking out the door, and I didn't want to hold you guys up.
Yeah.
Well, next time, make sure that you do hold us up.
And say hi to Paul and Fred.
Yeah. Well, next time I will make sure
Andy will call you a liar.
I'll make sure I say hello and ask to pet your dog.
Mm-hmm. But as I'm sure you guys are, that the last time we played the Jets in that playoff game is still very fresh in my mind. And one thing I gathered from that game, I sensed like a lot of stubbornness from the offense and Belichick, you know, when they had so many opportunities to go to the run and they didn't do it until late.
I can hear what you're saying, you know, as far as sensing stubbornness. I just think things weren't working. I mean, like, Woodhead would be in space, and he'd get the ball to Woodhead, but the Jets were just all over him.
Yeah.
And they'd get to him quickly, and they'd close it up. I don't know. I just think the Patriots got flat out outplayed that day.
Yep.
I'm not sure, you know.
I thought they ran the ball enough. They just didn't run it well.
Yeah.
And we're running against six-man fronts.
Yeah.
I mean, I just sensed mismanagement, like, from start to finish, basically. I mean, with benching Welker for, the first drive, where I felt like that was just stupid. That's being more concerned with the podium than playing the game.
Very interesting.
A lot of people feel like that, too.
Yeah.
But I wonder if they would have felt like that if we had won. No.
Oh, yeah, probably not. But based on, you know, I know you guys touched on this yesterday, where I think it's pretty much a guarantee that Welker is going to get Revis on him since he's their number one option. And I was thinking, since, you know, they showed some increased commitment to the run last game against the Raiders, is it more important in this game to get that start early, especially where Gronk is probably going to be covered in the passing game, maybe get him involved in the blocking game early so you can suck those safeties up, and then maybe you pop them for a big play to catch them off guard?
You know, I think if it was a road game, I'd say that's more of the case. I think for the Jets, they want to get off to, both teams want to get off to a fast start, but I don't think it's as critical for the Patriots as it is for the Jets.
I agree with that.
I think the Jets, and I've seen them do this before, that whole milling about defense. And thanks for the call, Dan. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
The milling about defense that the Patriots, we've seen them do. I think the Jets will do that a lot too, just so that Brady can't get his, you know, that pre-snap read that he likes to get.
And the offensive line. Jenkins brought that up when I talked to him about this week mentally is one of the more challenging. I forgot how he phrased something about, you know, you get some teams where they just go out there and they go in their 4-3 personnel and they kill dirt. I mean, they kill grass. They just stand there. That's not the case with the Jets. It puts more of a mental emphasis. And he said Dante will throw all kinds of crap at him this week to try to get him prepared. And let's not forget, Dan Conley is still Dan Conley. I mean, he's not Dan Copen. He's not experienced as much in this series.
And if Nate Solder has to play too.
Yeah. One thing I was thinking about in the Raiders game last week, the McFadden big run, the run he had for like 22 yards or something like that.
41 against us.
Yeah, the 41 yarder. I believe that was off a quick snap. And I think that one thing we don't see the Patriots do is, unless they're, you know, trying to sneak the ball in short yardage, you never see them quick snap because Brady's doing the pre-snap read. I think you might see that this game.
Could be.
You know, especially if they run the ball more.
I thought they did a lot of it in the first game against Miami.
You thought they did quick snap?
They did the no huddle, and it was a quick no huddle. The tempo was a big part of that, yeah.
Okay.
Don't you think, you don't remember that?
Maybe because.
Am I wrong?
Maybe because he couldn't yell out signals anyway because he thought it was too loud. I don't know, but.
Well, I think you're right. If they're running the ball, it's easier to do that. You come to the line of scrimmage. Everybody knows the play call. We're just running it.
Right.
And it's easier to do that on a quick count. Everybody's firing out. It's then to come and your pass protection and the receivers are looking at their pre-snap reads. That just takes longer. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
Especially if, no, I'm not trying to mock him, but like Ocho, if he's out there and you're running super hurry up and he doesn't have time to make his read that may take a half second longer, you'll do more harm than good, I think.
I agree with your point about the start, though. You know, and we all remember the playoff game. The Patriots went down and they ended up getting the field goal and not a touchdown. And I think that was a big part. You know, I think that was a big moral victory for the Jets to not allow that touchdown. They had the pick on the first one. And then they didn't get the fit. They even missed the field goal, which even though he made it, they called it no good. And all of a sudden they go down the field and they make it 3-0 instead of 7-0. The Jets are like, all right, they drove it on us twice here. We can get our act together and we're only down 3-0.
Right.
Whereas if it had been maybe 10-0,
yep,
you know, even 7-0, yep, I think it's a whole new ball game.
But that's part of the intrigue is, How is the Patriots offense going to deal with this Jets defense that knows them so well, matches up pretty well? That's the intrigue. It's not so much, you know, will the Patriots stop the Jets offense? Because, you know, Sanchez is what it is. If the Patriots don't cover, he's going to burn them. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they don't get pressure on him, they're going to score points and he's going to move the ball because he's not bad. He's a pretty good quarterback.
And even though, listen, his numbers right now, his numbers took a huge hit last week. But going into that game, he was completing 65% of his passes for the first three games.
That's right.
You know, and they've
been going to him more because they can't run the ball.
Because they can't run the ball. So they're asking him to do more, and he's done more. Now, he had the two big plays in the game last week, I don't think had anything to do with Sanchez. There were two strip sacks that both of them were very, very close to being incomplete passes. One of them, I think, was an incomplete pass.
I agree with you. And everyone on the plane said, oh, no, that was a fumble. I thought arm was going forward.
The second
forward,
one? And the ball went forward.
That's right.
That's why I think it should have been an incomplete pass.
Me too. You know, they said, well, the impetus of the hit made it go forward.
Yeah,
arm was going forward.
They said he had an empty hand going forward. I didn't see it like that. But the game was over at that point anyway. So I don't really think it was a huge play one way or the other. But I just feel like if the Jets can play the game the way they want to play it, Sanchez has been fine. If you want to fall behind by 17 points, then Sanchez is not the guy to lead you back.
Right.
I don't think. I think he's going to struggle in that situation. And if they can't protect him, you know, they're going to struggle. But I think it's interesting, the Mankins point that Andy brought up about how much they give you to think about, how much the Jets defense does. That speaks to Rex Ryan. You know, a lot of people, oh, he's a big, fat blowhard, but he's a pretty good coach, too, and unlike the guys that just go out there and, well, we do what we do, you know, the Brad Childresses of the world, it's still, I mean, 8 years later, it still annoys me that he thinks it's okay to get destroyed in a Monday night game because, you know, we
That's
do what we do.
Right.
You know, you got to give someone a little bit something. You got to at least make some adjustments
right.
of some sort. And it shows you that Rex Ryan is like Belichick in that he's a game plan coach. Now, maybe it's not as dramatic as what Bill will do from week to week, but obviously they don't just do the same thing every week.
Sure. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Larry's in Miami. Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, Larry? Come on, Larry. Get up. This Jets
bring
week.
It.
Come on. Bring it.
No, man. It just, man, I'm so pissed off of the defense, man. And I feel like this is a Jets podcast because y'all having too much good things to talk about the Jets. We supposed to kill them. I don't care if they're, down in. We got to take no prisoners and we just got to kill them.
I hear that.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
That's why I think there's a lot of pressure on the Patriots. They're supposed to kill them. They're a 10-point favorite, 9.5-point favorite.
I don't care if Brady has to, we got to run the ball, but if Brady has to throw like 500 times, then we got to score as much points as we can.
Well, I'm with you, Larry. I don't care how they do it. I mean, a lot of people are coming into this game saying, oh, the Patriots need to run more. I really don't care. You know, if Brady thinks he can complete passes, I don't care if they run the ball once. I really don't. I want to score points, and I don't care how they come.
I got two questions. First one is, how's Hernandez?
He looks good in the locker room. I saw him in the locker room. He had nothing on his knees, no limp, no nothing, but he was going into the training room. We'll get our practice update from Eric Scalavino. He'll be by later.
Oh, my God.
See, I made you happy. You forgot how bad the defense was.
Yeah, I know, right? But the second thing is Rashad Downing a little better? Because I see that we can probably put, like, Antoine Molden in the corner and then try Downing as safety, free safety. You think that?
Yeah, I don't
won't get hurt.
I don't think, what? Yeah, I'm not sure he won't get hurt. He gets hurt every time he steps on the field, and that's not a shot. Every time he literally plays, you look over, and he's with Jim Whalen running on the sideline being watched for something. He's had this hip issue now for a little while, and they've said that he hasn't done much of that. He doesn't have much experience at that he, for now, is a corner. And I have to take him at their word until I see him playing other than corner.
That's fine. I wish he could just do that right now.
Yeah,
he's just not on the field enough.
First and foremost, he has to get healthy.
So they want to put on a spectacle because he's a really tall receiver.
Yeah, great. But he's got to be healthy, you know?
I'm just saying, who are we going to put?
Oh, who are we going to put on Plaxico Burress?
I think McCourty, but, we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to match up.
No.
I mean, we'll do what we do, and that's...
I don't think size has a whole lot to do with covering big receivers, to be honest with you.
We made
an awful lot out of that in the first 2 weeks, but, I mean, last year no one was talking about how Devin McCourty couldn't match up with Calvin Johnson when he was picking passes off. He's struggling this year.
Well, I think size does matter in certain times.
It's not how big you are. It's how you use it, though.
Keep telling yourself that. All right, Larry. Thanks for the call.
See you, Larry.
All right.
And you should know I got a little wiener.
I generally agree, and I think Bill does, that it's about technique and, you can do certain things. But every week I see these highlights of Calvin Johnson. His size matters. He's just absolutely—he looks like Moss in 07 is what he looks like right now. There's three guys around him. He goes up and he catches the ball.
I don't mean like it's completely irrelevant. I'm saying that I don't think that's the number one thing to worry about.
No.
You got to have a 6'3" guy to match up against a 6'5" receiver.
Most 6'3" corners suck.
I mean,
not fluid enough.
I think that you have to have
nobody rubs their microphone more than Fred Kirsch.
I think
those fat shoulders getting in the way.
I think in the red zone you can throw
I got the Irf on him.
You could throw fades to big receivers in the end zone, obviously, and that's tough to deal with. But
it's not about Plaxico. It's not about any.
No.
Who on the Patriots is going to cover somebody on the other team? I don't. No specific matchup.
Yeah, I don't feel much better with
somebody cover.
The Holmes matchup,
right.
Or the Mason matchup.
I don't
or
feel,
the
or Keller
matchup.
Any of them until I see A, B, and C stopping D, E, and F for another team. I just assume they're not going to cover anybody, and Brady has to score 30 points. Because I also don't assume – big thing this week was, watching other teams rush the Jets. Or is this the week the pass rush gets there? Maybe. I can't predict it because I've seen nothing to lead me to believe other than them saying they're close, that it's close.
Well, it's – and I was watching that game on the plane, the Ravens-Jets game, and it's not just the fact that they went for the pressure. It's the speed. You just see on the Jets defense and the Ravens defense, guys just flying around, getting to the passer. And sometimes they missed,
But man, they would flash.
Well, part of that is, they're better athletes.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at.
Sean Ellis is older.
They just have more speed.
Andre Carter, maybe he's not as fast as he was. Maybe we got incorrect readings on him in camp and in Tampa. You know, Rob Ninkovich is what he is. He's not an elite edge speed guy. I mean, Terrell Suggs, think what you want about him. A lot of people consider him one of the more underrated pass rushers in the game, that he's even better than people give him credit for, that he should be in that mix of, top three, four, five pass rushers in the game. We don't have a guy like that in this locker room. There's no guy, we've talked about it forever, that you just go, wow, first step, wow.
Right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Big Don is in California. He said he went to the Raiders game Sunday. Hey, Don.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing, man?
What's up, man?
How'd you make out?
Hey, I made out fine. I disagree with y'all when y'all said size doesn't matter, but... but no, man, it was fine. I was actually in the black hole, and I had my Patriots jersey on me and my stepfather work. They're actually fine. It's just, you can't go there standing in front of people cheering for the Patriots. Stuff that you can't pretty much disrespect them in their hometown.
And you can't do that anywhere. You do that here,
that's
and you're
right.
going to get, right.
That's right.
Right.
But I just, I got a few questions for you guys, but when the Patriots was down there in the black hole, you couldn't hear nothing. I'm talking about the fans were screaming.
Oh, you're right. I was in the press box. I couldn't hear myself think.
It was so loud. I just got a few questions for you guys. Do you know if the Patriots have been working out anybody like in the secondary to maybe come in?
Well, they just signed a guy.
Secondary sucks, and Sergio Brown is pitiful.
Yeah, I agree, and I think they agreed when you saw Ahedebo play a little more later in the game. I think they realized Sergio doesn't need to be on the field all that often. He's not very good. He was taking terrible angles, getting physically beat up, not just the angles and the coverage. They brought in a guy today, Sterling Moore, for the practice squad, but I mean, I don't know. We talked to somebody that said, that there's not a lot of talent out there, certainly at safety. That Sharper, beyond him, there's not a lot, and maybe they decided he's just not healthy or not going to ever get back to full health at his age. But
I think Sharper, they might feel he kind of does one thing. He's kind of like that deep patrol guy, and maybe they don't want that.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Right.
I'd take it.
It's better than what Sergio is giving us.
Right. Yeah. If he can play, if he can move, if he's not John Lynch, who the first time he was here, you said he's done, maybe they decided that's what Sharper is because no one else has signed him either. But
Fred went out and bought a shirt.
If he can only take care of the deep part of the field, I'll take it. Thank you.
Right.
Come on in.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't think there's a lot of talent out there.
Another question I have for you guys, just two more. I ain't going to take up too much of your time. But Brandon Spikes, I noticed Brandon Spikes on as far as the run plays, he did real well on the run plays. I'll give him credit for that. But he would drop back in pass protection, he was horrible. A couple of plays, he looked lost. I even watched the game when I got home, even coming from the game, and it was a couple of plays he had his back turned. He didn't know where to go. He was just lost out there, man.
How it's been since last year.
Well, that is a problem, especially with Mayo out. Mayo's kind of like the guy that tells people where to go. And yeah.
I wonder if that's the instincts thing.
Have you guys noticed it, though?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that goes back to last year. That goes back to the playoffs. He has been terrible in pass coverage for the most part since he got here. And I wonder if it's one of those instincts things that Bill talked about. And in college, he was good. I mean, it was like five interceptions returned for touchdowns.
Right. Yeah.
I wonder if the complexities of an NFL passing game fly in the face of what his instincts are telling him, and maybe he just needs to get rid of that crap, and maybe it works against the run and believe your instincts, but it's a whole different passing ball game at this level because he does get caught out of position a lot and badly.
Right. I'm going to tell you one play when he really did it. It was when Kevin Boss was coming down and Chung like hit him, Spikes turned around in the full circle. He didn't know where to go.
He was supposed to be I know exactly the play you're talking about. He was supposed to be underneath bracketing him, and he just turned in a complete circle.
Yeah, it was horrible. And this is my last thing. I don't know if you guys watch ESPN a lot, but every week the Patriots play, they bring Eric Mangini up there to describe how to beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
He got that one little win at Cleveland, and they making it seem like he's out to beat Belichick. I don't know if you guys have noticed that, but I was just watching it this morning, and I just had to say something about it.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Don.
He got that one little win.
Well,
he beat him with the Jets.
That's basically his claim to fame as a head coach.
Well, he beat him with the Jets too. That's when
beating the Patriots is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's his claim to fame as a head coach, is that he can beat the Patriots.
But if you have him on your roster, isn't this when you use him?
Sure. Okay. No, I don't blame him.
He coached both teams.
He's still a rat.
Well, that may
that's
a separate opinion, but
yeah.
He was also complaining about the passing game and. You can't touch receivers, and no surprise, you get the four biggest passing yards weeks in the history of the NFL. Ranting and raving a little bit about that.
Another one, huh? What? Shalice just tweeted out, Shalice Manza-Young from The Globe.
Who had nicely coordinated shoes and top today.
She
sensible
did.
Sneakers with purple swooshes and a purple top.
Yeah, that's good. All right, Eric, I'll talk to you later.
I'm talking about a girl.
There was some talk about Chad Ochocinco not tweeting.
Yes, I heard about
this. Well, she claims, and she's pretty close with Chad. She did a nice feature on him about 3 or 4 weeks ago, one-on-one. So she has a little bit of a relationship there. He claims that he lost a bet.
To a good friend.
And had to go 3 weeks without tweeting.
Yep.
So just thought I'd throw that out there.
I wonder if the good friend is
that would be
Bill
Belichick.
Up Belichick.
First thing I thought of.
That would be up October 15th. Well, if he continues to tweet, we'll see.
No, but I mean, it could be legitimate. Like a Bill bet. And Bill knows that costs him, and maybe the bet was, Bill, I guarantee you I'll have 15 catches by week two or something, and Bill said, okay, and if you don't, you can't tweet for 3 weeks. Yeah. I mean, I could see that being a true story, and Belichick being the good friend.
Right.
No question.
That's the first thing I thought of. I doubt that's it, but that's the first thing I thought of.
I think there's a good chance that's it.
Because if you lose the bet and you're Bill Belichick, now it's kind of like you're opening the floodgates.
I think there's a chance that Belichick's involved, but not if it was a bet.
Yeah. You don't want to lose that bet if you're Bill. You know, why would
you make
that bet?
I think there's a chance that Belichick went to him and said,
I don't want him to have 15 catches in the first two games?
No, but
I do want to lose that bet.
But if I don't think there would be a bet involved if it were Bill. I think Bill may have said, listen, just do me a favor. Just 3 weeks.
Right.
Just go 3 weeks without doing it. Right. And he's saying, well, I lost a bet. I don't think Bill said, I'm going to bet you that or something.
No,
and if I win.
They got a special relationship. Bill!
Because if he really didn't want him to tweet, he would tell him not to tweet. I don't think he'd have to win a bet to make him not tweet.
No, but he doesn't. Want to have to tell him not to tweet, because that could, that's different than if they loses a bet.
Well, so now I'm happy he didn't catch 15 catches, so now he can't tweet?
You're happy either way. Either way, I get him to play, straight and narrow, or he has 15 catches.
Yeah, Andy's point is if he catches 15 balls in 3 weeks, then I don't care if
the tweeting's not a problem.
Yeah.
Bill!
It was the first thing I thought of, but I don't think it was.
Stranger things have happened.
Dave in U.S. Marine Corps Dave writes, and he has his
thank you for your service.
Top ways the Patriots need to win what they need to do to win. Haynesworth needs to show up. What better game than this one to show some decent pass rush? Jets offense is weak, and if we can shake up Sanchez, there's no chance they can beat us on the scoreboard. I love that Welker is what he's doing. He's carrying my fantasy team, but I hate seeing him take such vicious hits. Sit him in garbage time and let Price or Edelman have a shot. We can't afford to lose him with Ocho struggling and Hernandez out. Scoring 35 points is great, but this week I'm looking more closely at the points we give up. The Jets' offense is woeful, and if our defense shows any sign of improvement, we should be able to hold the Jets to 14 or less. Here's to us getting two games up on the most despicable team in the NFL, J-E-T-S, Jackanapes. Elephantine toe sucker is what he says J-E-T-S stands for.
Jackonate?
Jackanape. I don't know what that means.
What does that mean?
It's probably really bad, and I probably pissed off somebody. But
all I can think of is...
What?
Jacking off an ape.
Maybe. Maybe that's what it is. My email just died.
You think they could hold him to 14 points this week?
I'm thinking
this is what we're to.
I think
he can't confidently say they'll hold the Jets to 14 points.
Well, I think, with Fred. I don't know how you could confidently say,
No, I know how you couldn't. I'm talking about him. He should say they're going to shut him out.
No, if they can hold the Jets to 24 or less, I'll be thrilled. I'll be thrilled.
Now I'm with you. Really?
Yeah.
Thrilled.
Wouldn't you be at the state of this defense?
No.
Well, no. That would be. This is an offense in. it can't run the ball at all. They're rushing their center back into the lineup.
I mean, did they hold the Raiders to 19 points and you felt good?
I felt good, yeah.
Oh, I didn't feel good about the defense's effort last week.
I did.
Good thing we changed our.
I mean, I still think there's a long, long way to go. But and there's definite concerns about the defense. But based on what they've been doing so far this season, I was happy to what they did.
See, I think the whole game swung on a terrible play by their quarterback.
Yeah, but
a terrible, terrible, inexcusable, inexplicable play.
I thought that the Patriots defense had less to do with the 19 this particular game than they did with the Chargers, which a much better offense and a much better team. What did they get? 21 that day. And I thought the Patriots held them to 21, a lot closer than. I mean, I thought that the Chargers did a lot of things offensively well because they're really good. And they could have had more than 21 points, but the Patriots made big plays. These plays that stopped them, like Sergio Brown made a really nice play on Gates to cut underneath them to pick that pass off, and they had some pressure on that play.
Right.
Now, that wasn't the case the whole game. That just happens to be one play. The goal line stand. They came up with some big plays to keep points off the board. Jason Campbell just inexplicably threw the ball to the wrong team.
Well, he did on that one play, but I guess the defense.
That was a big play.
I guess the defense isn't as bad as we think it is.
That play may have been 10 points. That play was 7 that they didn't get, and maybe 3 you wouldn't have gotten.
I understand, but I think that they, when it came to running, they held McFadden to 75 yards. And
no, listen. Why do we break it down like that to they held McFadden to 75 yards? That whole play
if he
McFadden out of the second half.
He'd be saying, defense stinks.
And they would have given up 650.
But that whole play took McFadden out of the second half. This is what I don't think you can. I don't think you can possibly overstate the importance of that one boneheaded quote from Jason Campbell.
The Patriots only really had the ball for 10 minutes in the first half.
Right. Why is that? Because the Raiders had the ball.
you're just making our point.
But they're keeping points off the board.
But did they take the points off the board, or the Raiders not get the points on the board?
Like
against the Chargers, I think you could make the argument that the Patriots kept points off the board.
All right,
I don't think it was perfect in any of the games, obviously.
I'll stand by what I say. If the Patriots give up 24 or less, I'll be thrilled. Wow. I'll be thrilled.
I think you might lose if you do that.
Really?
I think 24 might be enough to win if you're the Jets.
And is that because the Jets' defense is so good?
Wait, the Jets have only scored more than 24 or 24 once this year.
That's fine. There'll be a lot of,
Is that true?
I don't know. Let me check it again.
I think at least twice.
Oh, wait, no, that was the preseason. They lost 24.
Three times, actually.
32, 24.
What was the first game that they won?
17.
What was the first game
they've scored
that they won?
20, they've scored more than 24 once. 32-3 over Jacksonville. They lost 27-24. They lost 34-24.
They won 27-24.
I mean, they won 27-24. Oh, yeah, so twice.
Right, so three times they've been 24 or more once they've been below.
Right, right.
All right, so that's what I'm saying. Phil in Nova Scotia.
I'm saying that I think the Jets might have one of those rallying. I don't think the Jets' defense is as bad as it's played. Now, for a month, it's been bad. You take out that Jacksonville game. As long as we're taking stuff out, you take out their one good game against Jacksonville, and their defense has sort of been on its heels in the other three games, a little more so than normal. I thought they had periods against Baltimore where they played pretty well, obviously, but I think it's one of those funny dynamics when you get a lead like that, and then all of a sudden you're kind of playing antsy and not to make mistakes and to run the clock and. I give the Jets credit. They got their defense got them back in the game momentarily there. And they had the pick six by David Harris.
Sure.
And then Aaron Maben, of all people, comes up with a strip sack and they get the ball right back and Sanchez throws the pick six the other way in the first play and that was game. But I gotta think they're better. I gotta agree with Rex here. I gotta think they're better than they've played so far.
I definitely think they're better than they've played. And particularly their defense.
They were 31st in the league against the run. I gotta think they're better than that.
I do too. Phil from Nova Scotia says, as a fan of Paul's, I often worry about his physical health, but now I'm concerned for his mental health. I don't understand why he is so stubborn in his opinion of Welker. If this was Andy's opinion, I would pay it no mind because that monkey in a medium tee is not to be taken seriously.
Monkey?
But, yeah, monkey.
Medium tee? I've never worn a medium tee in my life.
You do, just to make you look good.
But no, Paul, my body makes me look good.
it's Eric wears the medium.
So. And it's a small, and it's green, and it's on Patriots today.
Boys medium.
But Paul usually makes more sense, and though he tends to run hot, he's been burning rocket fuel lately.
He's got the good stuff.
I love it for the show, but I hope he doesn't let it get away from him. Paul and I are both over 40, and I'm sure he's noticed how many people our age start to go bat crap crazy. Maybe meditation or yoga might help him get through his midlife crisis. A few sun salutations and downward dogs could be what you need, Paulie.
I just had a mental image.
Yoga talk.
Him rolling out his mat and doing yoga.
I'm not having a midlife crisis.
No?
Obviously, Phil doesn't believe me either.
Who said you're having a midlife crisis?
He just said. Yoga or something to deal with your midlife crisis.
Oh.
Patrick from Minnesota says, as usual,
I guess I'm just not believable. I guess I'm not just believable.
You're a hothead, and you've always been a hothead.
Because I got hot when I was accused of lying.
Right.
And evidently, Philip believes
like
that I'm lying as well.
As usual, thanks for all the great insight you always share with us fans, even if you don't agree with each other about what those insights really are. Yesterday, I actually had to turn my computer down when Paul and Andy were fighting because it was blaring over to the neighbors. That's why we love you guys.
In the cube or, like, next door neighbors?
I don't know. Feel free to rip this theory apart, but I wanted to hear your opinion. I think over the last few years, we've become way too much like the Colts. Machine-like offense, suspect defense, great regular season stats and record, then bounced in the playoffs because we don't have enough impact players ready for the big stage. This offseason, I felt we tried to correct that by bringing in Ocho, Albert, and Ellis. I know their contributions to date have been less than average, and we want them to perform at a high level each game. The teams that have beat us in the playoffs lately have not had the best regular seasons, but were able to show up when it finally counted. I am curious if this week, with the Jets coming to town, if any of these guys will finally find the next level when we need them in a big game. After all, our goal this year is Super Bowl, not just the regular season in the league. By the way, by the end of the season, I think three players that may help us more than we thought will be Dane Fletcher, Ridley, and Arrington. Okay? Well, they make sense, but all three of them?
Yeah.
So, what do you think about Ellis? Do you think Ellis gets pumped up for this game, or is it just another game for him?
I don't know. He's playing against himself.
We.
Says we.
He's playing against we.
Right.
For the Jets.
He says that he still kind of says we sometimes when he
refers.
That's
fine. I mean, that's...
Yeah, he was there for a
long
time.
He spent 11 years in one place, one uniform.
Right.
But the other question, the Colts thing versus... I think there's two issues there. First of all, the Colts had better defensive players, in my opinion, than the Patriots are playing right now. I mean, Freeney and Mathis, and they had Bob Sanders. They had some guys that would make... They weren't good on defense, but... Right now, the Patriots don't have anybody who's playing consistently well on defense, even up to their resume. We talked about Mayo and McCourty, maybe Wilfork you put in that category.
Right.
But the other issue is that long-standing question we've had is there's something about the way this team plays and my whole theory that it's too business-like and you can't get emotionally amped up when you need to for the postseason, something that the Ravens or Ray Lewis team or Rex Ryan's team can do. They lose in the regular season because they're too emotional. But they can ratchet it up in the postseason when you need to, when you need to hit that next level. And maybe this business-like approach that Bill preaches and does a great job with in the regular season doesn't transfer. I think there's two different questions there.
Could be.
Because I don't think the Colts, it had anything to do with emotion. It was more similar, just they were an offensive-based team. You can beat up on bad teams in the regular season. And then you play a good, tough physical team in the postseason, you can lose.
Well, and that's the part that I think is the similarity, more so than the defense, is that. I think when you have this high-flying offense, when you play a physical team that can punch you and that offense goes, now if you're not great defensively, you have nothing to fall back on. That's where I think the similarity is.
And even more so with Welker, we're still questioning, is he number one receiver? Can he just line up against a good corner and beat him and get his eight catches in a postseason game when they're just going to try to take him out? I mean, I think we can say that Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison are Hall of Fame caliber receivers, number one type receivers in terms of talent, outside receivers.
And they've had that happen to them in the playoffs.
Right, and that happened to them. Now we really go, can Welker do it? He was shut down last year in the postseason, and how does this team react when they do?
Yeah, and I think the similarity, the Colts did it in 2006. You know, they showed everybody that they could do that. They won a 15-10 game in the playoffs. I didn't think they would be able to do that. To me, it was always about, you know, is Peyton on today, and can they score 28-plus to win? They have a lot of those playoff devastating defeats that they've had. They've put a lot of points and a lot of yards on the board, and their defense has just lost the game for them. That happens. But to me, of more intrigue is what happens when the offense doesn't come to play. Can you find another way to win? And the last 2 years in the playoffs, they haven't. Because the offense was terrible against Baltimore. And I wouldn't say terrible, but it wasn't good against the Jets. Mm-hmm. Can you win anyway?
Right.
Can the defense say, all right, we're not going to just go into this game and say, we just got to make a couple of plays and maybe they'll turn the ball over and maybe we'll come up big in the red zone. No, you got to come up, you got to force punts. And you know, when your offense isn't scoring like it normally does, you have to force a succession of punts until your offense gets back on track. And it's been a while. I think you got to go back to maybe consistently, you got to go back to like 05. Mm. 06, when the defense won games, when the offense wasn't there and the defense won a game. When was the last time we won while scoring less than 21 points?
No, I know. It's
been long. I mean, I don't have the answer to that, so it might have been more recently than I think. But I can't, few and far between. Probably 08, the year that Brady was hurt, was the last time we won a game scoring less than 21 points.
I'm not even sure about that. I'm trying to think. But anyway,
just a quick update. The Ocho bet was not football related.
Okay. Ross in Canada writes in. He says, second chance to use nose pick as a cover. Any chance we see it? Nope.
Nope.
We went with Wes Welker on the cover and getting a lot of praise for it.
I thought it was a good photo you chose.
A lot of people are
interesting facial expression. Yeah. I think it showed his grit.
Yeah.
You know, at the risk of being called a liar again.
He's not paying attention. With Twitter.
What?
I thought it showed you the player we've seen,
right?
You know, in certainly in that game, but all year.
As for yesterday's show, I do think you'll see that foot fetish freak find a way to remove Welker from the game. I, however, am
foot
not
fetish freak.
I am not panicked about it, as you must sacrifice something to take a guy away like that.
Really beautiful.
This will open up other parts of our offense. I've also thought all along, Week 5 Jets would be Ocho's coming out party. But even if I am wrong.
I was right, Andy. This is the week.
But even if I'm wrong about that, and Ocho is a jag with the drops, it's hard not to be encouraged by what we saw last week with our run game at Oakland. Thanks for the great work. F the Jets. F Rex. Go Pats.
Well, I think they were saving Taylor Price for the Jets' big coming out party.
I think it depends on how they take Welker out of the game, if you have to sacrifice anything else. If they put Revis on him, and Revis is able to take him out of the game, which I'm not sure he's going to do.
Well, it's a different challenge for him than covering these big outside receivers.
And
no
that
question.
Was the point I tried to make on Point Counter yesterday with you, which is going to air tomorrow night on PFW TV.
We need the ratings.
He's not used to that. He's not used to going inside as often as Welker will be inside. But let's just say for argument's sake that Revis covers Welker and he takes him out of the game. Welker's going to finish with 3 catches for 30 yards. I don't think that the Jets have sacrificed anything to take Welker out of the game if that happens. Now, if you have to use linebackers and Kyle Wilson, you know, strength in numbers kind of deal, now you probably have sacrificed something because you're probably more susceptible to the run if the linebackers are worried about Welker. You've taken more than one player to do it, so clearly if you're doubling him or even more, leaves open somebody else, but
named Hernandez if he plays.
Yeah, I think Hernandez is a huge X factor in the game because you can probably deal with Gronk with safeties and, you know, hope he's going to catch some passes. He's too good to get shut down. But if you have Gronk and Hernandez had a big game, I believe, in the 45-3 game.
Well, he actually had a big game in the first half of the first game last year against
Jets. He did. You are correct.
You know?
So I think he's a big sort of X factor. I think if you have
that
enough,
would push me to use Welker on, I mean, Revis on Welker even more, I think. To just say he can take him, get out of here, and then I feel better
about crowd the middle
with
those other guys.
Yeah, against Hernandez. Whereas if Welker is my focus inside, now I think Hernandez could get lost inside and make a lot of plays.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I definitely, if well, Hernandez you, played, that would push me.
You
even
would go
more
with Revis
well.
Anyway.
I
you
would
saying that
even more so if Hernandez plays.
Yeah, I think you're going to end up being right. I think this is the time that he does it. Have you noticed that teams do or don't use their best cornerback on Welker? That seems to be a big line of questioning I've been hearing in the locker room.
I don't think most teams match up.
Well, that's the thing. That's I was trying to say who was the best quarterback with cornerback we've played.
Well,
and like that Stanford route is their best corner.
And he didn't play, right?
Right. No, he played.
But didn't he leave the game right away?
But he played. I don't know.
You know, their whole secondary was on the injury report all week. I don't think they have a number one cornerback.
Well, like, Jammer. Let's go back to Miami.
Buffalo's number one cornerback didn't play. You know, like, I don't think they make it sound like it's a conscious choice, like it's a lack of respect for Welker, like they're not putting their best cornerback on him. Well, not all teams have a corner that can match up against the slot guy.
Beyond that, I don't think most teams match up. I don't think most teams are strict matchup teams because they don't have a good enough corner, first of all, that you want to match up.
But even, even if they put Revis on Welker, Welker may not get as many yards after the catch, but he will make catches because it's almost impossible for a guy immediately off the line who slants, if the quarterback is on time with the delivery, to cover that. All you can do is wrap him up right away. Right.
I agree.
You know, it's
you're absolutely right.
It's really hard.
With no help, yes.
With no help.
It's going to be, you're hoping to just tackle him for a 3-yard gain.
Right.
A slant is uncoverable if the throw is good.
Yep, it is.
A quick slant.
Yep.
But now the question is, what do you get out of it?
Right.
I mean, are we just completing passes for the sake of completing them, or are we looking to make plays?
True. Let's see. Jason is from Barcelona, and he says, love the show. Keep up the great work. Though I like the show best when all four of you guys are there. I don't get the chance to listen live anymore as I have a job. I know you guys and everyone have been down on the Patriots defense, but I'm struggling to remember having watched a more pitiful unit on a consistent basis. The worst part of that, after four games, I can't see much improvement this season. Against Oakland, the pass rush looked like a bunch of guys trying to push over a house, and that final Raiders drive they conceded was pitiful and embarrassing no matter which way you spin it. Four plays, 99 yards, and 48 seconds. Come on, man.
And it should have been three plays.
The overall team dynamic is really worrying. Number one offense by some distance and very lopsided towards the pass. Number 32 defense also by some distance. This is a combination that takes you nowhere in the playoffs, but will probably get you there. I'm worried about the percentage of offense going through Welker, especially with the Jets coming up. I believe they will be able to keep him in check and slow down the passing game significantly. And I don't really agree with Paul's assertion that the low QB rating against the Jets pass offense is due to their poor run D. Normally, when you can run the football on a team, it opens up the passing game for easy completions and play action pass. I think the Patriots will run a lot this week, and I think the Jets would like to get back to running the ball too, but the Pats' pass D will be too tempting not to attack. Finally, here's a quick over-under game for the big Patriots-Jets clash. Jets sacks 2.5.
Under.
Over.
Patriots sacks 1.5.
Over.
Over.
Over. Sanchez interceptions 1.5.
Over.
Under.
Welker catches 60% of the targets.
Over.
So not targeting just him, but all the targets.
Oh.
I think. Because he's going to catch more than 60% of the balls going to him.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
If it's individual, I'll say he'll get six. Yeah, I'll say yes, over. But if it's everybody, I don't know. I don't really understand.
So of all the passes,
so if they throw 40 passes,
he has to catch.
He'll catch 60% of them.
Yeah,
no, under.
I'll go under.
Okay,
that would be like 25 catches,
right?
Or something.
LaDainian Tomlinson reception 7.5.
Under
receptions.
Under.
Under.
Under. Patriots rushing yards 129.5.
Over.
Under.
Oh. Wilfork interceptions 0.5.
Under.
Over.
And total points 44.5.
Over.
Over.
28-24.
As a footnote, I think Mangini is a very good and fair analyst, and I enjoy listening to his views whenever he's on TV. He also got a good sense of humor. One of his first days on ESPN, he was asked if he had any advice for the new Cleveland Browns coach, to which he responded that he knew of a great property and a lovely community, which was on the market for a reasonable price. So there's
I think he's pretty good.
Can I just clarify the thing I meant about the passer rating, defensive passer rating for the Jets?
Yes.
I didn't say it was all because of the run, but as an example, what I was talking about was like the Baltimore game on Sunday night. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I can't imagine the Ravens threw the ball more than five, six, seven times in the second half. And they were, you know, I think they had an interception, one completion, because they only threw the ball when they had to. And the Jets did a good job of, you know, sort of attacking, knowing that they were going to run the ball and getting bodies around the line of scrimmage, and it makes your numbers look better because the Ravens ran the ball down their throat and had a big lead. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like the Buffalo thing a few years ago, Andy. You remember that? When Buffalo, the year that the safety, Jarris Bird, was the rookie and he had like 8 or 9, 10 picks.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo's defensive passer rating was off the charts that year. Well, no one ever threw the ball.
Right.
And then you have very low numbers, and now all of a sudden you make a couple of plays on those low chances, and your numbers are astronomical.
Right.
Because why? The Bills were 32nd in the league stopping the run, and that's all teams did against them. So it's a combination of you play reasonably well against the pass, but you also that you don't have a lot of chances.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have gotten two interceptions, whether they threw the ball 500 times or 300 times, but your number's going to be a lot better if they only throw it 300 times.
Sure.
I think a little of that is at play with the Jets.
Okay.
A little. The Jets have a good secondary. I mean, that's
all right.
They're a good. I mean, the Jets are a good team.
Alex from Georgia says, Andy and Paul, just when I was putting you back in the guys category, what I meant yesterday when I said the only team that the Patriots could lose to were the Packers, your response was the Bills. Didn't one of you say the very next show that if the Patriots and Bills played again, that 9 out of 10 times the Patriots would win, and everyone agreed? The Bills won by 3 points when Brady threw 4 interceptions. The Bills will come back down to earth. The Packers are right where the Patriots are in pass defense. They are ranked 31, and a majority of their defense is the same one that helped them win a Super Bowl last year, I think he meant. And yes, Paul, as much as I hate to say it, Andy does make a point. The way it comes on the radio, the way you talk about Welker, is that you do hate him. And Andy, the way you talk about Mayo is the same thing. Your reasoning is that just reception and just tackles don't mean much. But can't you say the same thing about the net yardage that the defense gives up? As long as the points aren't there, just like how they are the worst team on net yardage, but in middle of the road for points allowed. So, I mean, I think you can say something about that. At the end of the season, if the Patriots are, you know, up there with points allowed, then
oh yeah, yeah. I'll give them credit. They've done that in the past.
Oh, right. but they're not.
Right.
No, I said at the end of the season.
But they haven't been for a while. At the end of the season, they haven't been among the league leaders.
This year, if they
yeah,
are.
Yeah, but if they get there, it'll mean we'll have watched 8 games where they didn't give up a ton of points, right?
See, right.
For them to get there, we're going to have to see some of these games where they give up 14 or 12 or 18.
Right. And if that
and by
happens,
that time, I'll say they're a better defense. I won't say they're the worst defense I've ever seen.
Exactly. If we keep, if all of a sudden they start.
I can't say that now.
They start holding teams like to 17 points and under every week. And, you know, instead of allowing 500 yards, they're allowing 300 yards. And we keep saying they
stink. But
what
if they allow 500 yards and still only give up 17 points?
I'll say it's a fluke.
Kind of like when Dice gave us loaded the bases
exactly.
Every time and still won 18
because
games.
Because you're not going to allow 500 yards every week and allow 19 points. That ain't going to happen. You're going to have to start allowing fewer yards to allow fewer points.
But you would. I mean, I think
that's
would
what
go
I'm saying.
Hand in hand.
Absolutely.
Because you'd allow less points, probably because you got some turnovers, which means they'd get less yards, which
right.
would all kind of fall in
but
place.
But if that happens, and Andy and I continue to say, this defense stinks, then yeah, if
right.
you want to say that we hate them, yeah, that would be accurate. But I don't think Andy hates Gerard Mayo.
I hate drafting a guy in the top 10 to just make tackles. That's the hate part.
Okay, well, I didn't mean to speak for you. I don't hate Gerard Mayo, even though I share Andy's opinion of Gerard
Mayo
as a player.
I like top 10 players to be impact playmakers.
And I certainly will take him on my team, much like I'm glad that Wes Welker is on the team, contrary to popular opinion.
Alex, number one fan in England, he claims. First time writing in, but long time podcast listener. After all this time, it's hard to believe that the two of my 4 points are going to be non-football related. One, when you play Brandon Merriweather's Big Ben clock quote, yes, he probably isn't the sharpest tool in the box, but did you know that the Big Ben is the name of the bell inside the tower and not the clock?
Yes.
Yeah. Two, I can relate to Paul's view on chocolate. I
like Paul, I enjoy, and this is Andy's view, actually. Like Paul, I enjoy milk chocolate, but do not like chocolate ice cream, cake, or any other product chocolate related.
You're a smart man.
I'm glad to know there is someone else in the world that is strange.
Whoa, that took an ugly turn at the end.
Too bad.
And I back it up. That vanilla white chocolate was phenomenal from Belgium.
Thank you, Olivier.
Olivier, it backed up the belief that white chocolate is the best chocolate.
I am not too concerned about Mayo being out. Only Big Vince and Pat Chung would be big defensive losses right now. Not because Mayo is not a good player, but the drop-off to his likely replacement is not huge.
I disagree.
With his form so far this season. So a roundabout way of saying, how much worse can it get?
Well, wow. I agree with that on the defense, but his
defense as a whole, yes.
They have one linebacker and a bunch of guys. That's how it is, and he's the one.
And four, if you have time, what players would you include in an all-AFC team considering their current form from the Pats? I would assume you would have Brady, Mankins, Waters, Vollmer slash Solder, Gronkowski, Welker, Wilford, Chung, and Gostkowski. Would there be any more?
Wait, Vollmer slash Solder?
Yeah, no.
I wouldn't put either of them on it.
Yeah, I don't think there are very,
at this point, maybe Waters not either.
I couldn't tell you.
Chung? I'm not sure. Well,
no
safeties.
Way. Oh, I know where this is going. Well, there are no good safeties.
AFC East. Who's a better?
Oh, AFC East?
It's an AFC East.
I thought he said AFC.
No. AFC East.
Oh. So Brady's your quarterback. Welker's your receiver. Gronkowski's one of the tight ends.
Right.
You gotta have your boy Jim Leonard in there if you're going AFC East. He's the most overrated player.
He's very valued for the
most overrated player in football.
Now we're talking all-stars here, you know.
Now, my right tackle would be Jake Long. Because I think he's a right tackle, right? And that's how they do it. You take two left tackles and make them one a right tackle.
Right.
My center would be Nick Mangold. One of my guards would be Logan Mankins. Who's the other guard?
Could be Waters.
It
I don't
could
know.
Could be Waters.
Andy Levitra.
You might take one of the cornerbacks from Miami. You know?
Yeah, Benny Sapp.
Well,
he's not from Miami.
I might take the two Jets.
Well, you've got to take Revis. I mean, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what else?
And Cromartie?
I haven't seen anything out of Vontae Davis to show that he's one of those kind of guys. I thought he got off to a promising start as a rookie, and the last few times I've seen him, I haven't been impressed.
All right.
Even though he declared himself, along with Sean Smith, who I thought was a jag from the day I saw him on college tape.
Will Fork would be there.
Yeah.
I like the Jets linebackers. I like Scott and Harris. Calvin Pace has played pretty well, too.
Pace has played well. We were on a 3-4 or 4-3.
Doesn't matter. We're not going to do this.
I love when he breaks it down.
Let's see. Mike says Andy was wrong, or Big Head was wrong, about Andre Reed's stats. I believe it was Big Head talking about Andre Reed giving wrong stats, saying he only had one 1,000-yard year. He actually had four, including two 1,300-plus yard, two over 1,000, and two over 900.
You didn't listen.
He is the fifth all-time in receptions, just behind Marvin Harrison.
You didn't listen. The stat was
better
1,000
than you guys
yards and 10 touchdowns. 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns.
Well, who's got a lot of them?
Listen. What?
What receiver
has a
lot?
Randy Moss?
You're talking about one of the best ever.
Okay. Ever.
Ever.
Well, just so you know.
He did it once, and Andre Reed's supposed to be one of the best ever.
Andre Reed is supposedly a snub for the Hall of Fame. I would think that, how many guys have that? Well, I don't know, but the elite guys.
I mean, how many does Marvin Harrison have? I haven't checked with other teams. That stat only popped up because Stevie Johnson became, I believe, the third Bills receiver to have a 1,000-yard, 10-touchdown season, joining Andre Reed once and Eric Moles once.
Nick in Maine says, win or
lose. I like the tone of that email. Who was that?
You don't like it when they make fun of you.
Mike.
You got to get used to it.
No. I like when they make fun of me if it's accurate.
You got to get used to
it.
If
they have wax in their ears and can't hear what people are saying and are just ignorant,
wrong. If you said he only had one 1,000-yard
season with 10 touchdowns.
I don't remember
I can have it
that.
Played back to you if you'd like.
I don't remember you saying
Pretty
that.
Sure I can have it read back to you in the must stop for Stevie Johnson.
Yes.
Nick in Maine says, win or lose, what are the chances that Plastico has a big day against the Patriots secondary? I have a feeling he will look more dominant than he actually is against our struggling secondary, and I'm fearing a jump ball in the end zone over McCourty.
I'm going Andy here. What do you mean by big? I don't think he'll catch a lot of passes, but I do think he can catch
a touchdown or two.
If you ask me, any receiver, will he have an average day, above average, or below average against the Patriots? Whatever his average may be, I'm taking the above average.
I just don't think that he's going to be a guy that's going to catch eight balls for 150 yards.
No, but he hasn't done that yet, right?
Well,
I mean, what is he doing? I don't know what he's
period. He's been like three, four, five catches, decent yardage, and he's had a couple of touchdowns. I think he could have a day like that and maybe on the higher end for him.
Have a day.
I think Holmes might be the guy that has a bigger day statistically than you've seen. And Andy, you love him. Andy brought Keller up.
He's your $50 million receiver.
Andy brought Keller up.
Oh, yeah, I'm afraid of him.
And I think he'll have a good day, too.
Burris has 10 for 160 through four games, so he's basically averaging two-plus catches for 40 yards.
And 16,
I'll take the over.
And 16
yards per catch.
How many touchdowns? Two?
Two. I'll take the over across the board.
And I would love, by the way, to have Santonio Holmes alleviate your fears of Wes Welker being the only option on the Patriots offense. I'd love to have Santonio Holmes out there for Tom Brady to throw the ball to. And I believe he would catch 80 balls easy.
Oh, me too. I'd take him. He can play on my team, but there's about 100 receivers I'd take on this team right now because they have one.
Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298.
I'm not the one who decided that. Tom Brady is when he chooses to throw the ball.
Is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Steve is in Toronto. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. Great show so far.
And thank you, Steven.
Yesterday, too.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, and a Jack and Ape is a conceited fellow.
Okay.
So, Eric. Okay. Eric is a Jack and Ape.
So, we need to ask Eric that. When Eric's by later, we need to ask him that, because it would be ironic if he didn't know it.
Right.
Well, it was more common in, like, the last century in England than in the centuries before than now. Nobody really uses it.
Yeah, but Eric tends to consider himself a learned man who would know things from all eras.
Okay. Well, you'll have to guess. I have one concern and one theory. My concern is Gary Guyton was driving me nuts last week.
That's a concern.
Particularly since he's going to be wearing the green dot, maybe.
He could be.
Could be.
That was a good sentence.
And I'm really praying he doesn't.
I do believe that that's a concern. I think Gary Guyton, Rex keeps talking about wanting to get back to that ground and pound, and I'm not sure that Gary Guyton is a...
He'll be on the ground getting pounded?
...is a good solution to that.
Let's make sure we play like the f***ing New York Jets.
Well, he really kind of pissed me off because... Just three plays I noticed, and I wasn't really looking for him. I saw him get blown up. And then on another run by McFadden, where he ran himself out of position, and then other guys were pursuing. He was jogging in pursuit. And isn't he supposed to be like our fastest linebacker?
Yes.
And I literally on screen, he's jogging, watching McFadden run past him.
I missed that.
And then there was the touchdown where I think they even the announcer pointed out that one guy tried at his legs, and then he even mentioned Guyton by name where he just sort of gave up on the play.
All right, what's the theory?
Okay, the theory is they have to win this game because they've been trading games back and forth for the last 3 years.
I was thinking of that too, right. So then when you get to the playoffs, it's Patriots serve.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like they're doing that tennis thing. So they got to win this game, because if they don't win this game, they're going to win the next one, and then they're screwed in the playoffs again.
Right.
Anyway, that's my input.
Okay.
All right, Steve.
Thanks for the call.
Good
Steve
stuff.
In Toronto. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Big Daddy's in Georgia.
What's going on, fellas?
Oh, nothing. We're just waiting to hear it. Hear the truth from Big Daddy. What do you got for us?
I'm talking about the defense. I'm thinking the defense is a little off base because we switched to the 4-3. And I think we got real happy in that first Tampa Bay preseason game when we sent out the all-out blitz and they didn't have time to throw the ball for a split second.
Well, after that game, Andy said we're going 16-0.
Yeah, I got a little too happy after that game, I'll admit it.
And I'm wondering what happened to that all-out blitz we were doing, because now we're playing a lot of man-to-man. We put McCourty on the island and the other cornerbacks on the island. And they only have a certain amount of time with anybody to stick a receiver man-to-man. We're not getting the blitz in. I think that's really what's hurting our defense. We need to go back to a little more zone coverage.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Pepper Johnson spoke yesterday. And one of the things he said is that he is more than happy with what these guys up front have been doing, that they've been doing exactly what they've been asked to do. And you just wonder, you know, are they back to this –
You know, but
I can think of from that is asking Bill a question and saying, believe it or not, Andy, we don't ever plan to not get to the quarterback. And,
right.
And they're doing what they asked to do. Did you ask him not to get to the quarterback?
Can I just throw this in? And Andy and I talked about this in the locker room a little bit. Don't you look at, we always kind of look at those quotes a little skeptically anyway, because we know how Bill is, and he's loyal. He's fiercely loyal to his players. He's never going to
see Burgess
throw him under
come
the bus.
Derek.
Right. And that's great. That's an admirable
and all
quality.
Coaches
and I'm
are.
Not, and,
I mean, how many times did Lovie Smith say, Rex Ryan's our quarterback? Rex Grossman's our quarterback. Rex Grossman's our quarterback.
And I think that's great. I think that's an admirable quality for any coach to have. And I applaud it. Terry Francona was the same way with the Red Sox, right down to the end. He even wouldn't throw them under the bus after he left.
Better man than I.
After watching the documentary, Freddie.
Yeah.
The Football Life with Belichick. Don't you now take those comments even more skeptically?
Sure.
You know what he really thought.
Right.
And I'm sure that we could go back in 2009 and find quotes from Belichick saying, oh, I thought our production in the running game is, you know, it's been good. It's been about what we expected or whatever. I think so-and-so has done a great job. You know, just change the names.
Yeah.
But you know behind the scenes in the coaches' meetings that he's saying a totally different thing. And I can't imagine that he and Pepper Johnson right now are thrilled with the production getting after the pass.
No, but do you think that, I think what I'm trying to get at is, do you think they are, you know, what we saw in Tampa is something we've never seen before.
I'm not even comparing it to
that.
Well,
that's what I am.
Me too.
Have we seen them trying that and failing, or have we seen them not doing that?
They've blitzed enough. No, I've seen them blitz.
I mean, 2 weeks ago.
But remember, Mayo's been hurt. So, I mean,
Mayo's been hurt for a half of a game.
No, half a game.
But, no.
He wasn't hurt going into the last game.
He had the thigh injury.
No.
He was
wrong.
On the injury report.
He got taken off the injury report.
Okay, but up to then, he was on the injury report with a thigh injury. And one of the guys that did stand out in that Tampa game was Mayo.
He was one of them.
And
so was Andre Carter, and they've been sending spikes a lot. So,
they sent McCourty on a corner blitz in the Raiders game in the first quarter.
And in Tampa.
They've been going after the quarterback
just
periodically.
Not there.
They're
nobody.
Not getting there.
No.
I'm not saying read and react.
When you're rushing the passer, there's no two-gapping read and react. You're rushing the passer.
And I'm not saying they're blitzing constantly. I'm not saying they're blitzing like Rex
Ryan.
They're not. Yeah. But they've blitzed more than people are letting on. People are wondering, where is this aggressive thing that we saw in Tampa? Well, you know what? Maybe in Tampa, if they blitzed the first three or four plays and didn't get there, we wouldn't have seen all the sacks.
Right.
They got there. The first play of the game, bang.
Right.
Josh Freeman was dead.
And isn't that how a lot of times it is? When you get there, it seems like it's contagious.
It's contagious.
You know, Greg Williams is a guy that does that. He just feels like it snowballs.
Well,
and
a lot of that is the matchup. The guy that you're lined up against, I own this guy.
And it's also the quarterback. You know? He starts thinking it's coming.
Oh, that's true.
It gets in his head and his feet.
Watch Mark Sanchez from that game against Baltimore.
Right.
My God.
So if you can do that early, you can build on your own. But somebody needs to make a play. I don't buy the whole they're doing their job and they're almost there. Just get there.
Big Daddy, you got anything else?
Yeah, two things. I think right now I would love to have Brandon Merriweather and James Sanders back. Because Barrett and Brown they're really wrecking on my last nerve.
A lot of people seem to be sharing that.
I'll take Jimmy back. I don't need Merriweather.
I saw Merriweather do some pretty good hits in the Chicago game, and I said I missed that because Barrett and Brown are just swinging at the ball, swinging at the air. they're making me sick.
Oh, okay. You have one more?
Did you hear anything about Aaron Hernandez? Is he going to play Sunday?
Eric Scalavino? I am guessing
he wasn't out there,
Daddy,
so I'm going to say
for the call.
No.
He wasn't out there.
He was not out there.
Wow. I'm going to say he's still going to play.
I do, too. I think he's
really?
Going to play.
But I am surprised by your update.
What makes you so optimistic about his playing this week?
Don't tie me down to details.
No? Okay.
All those tricky facts.
And
I have nothing to base it on.
Unless he's out on the injury report, he wasn't out there to start practice, right?
Technically, yes.
Just saying.
Typically, when
no one has told me that he's playing this week. If that's what you're getting at,
that's not what I was getting at.
Was it Ian that said it?
Oh yeah, he's all in.
That's not what I was getting at though. I just didn't know if you just. I don't know, had an inkling or something.
All right.
Do you know what a jackanape is?
Jackanape?
Yeah.
I've heard of a jackalope.
No,
And a cantaloupe.
I've heard of a
and a jackass.
Jackalass.
No, jackanape.
Jackanape?
Yeah.
No.
And it's not what you do to, you know, impregnate, you know, take a sample.
Oh, for God's sakes.
You do that with animals sometimes.
It's an old English term for someone who's conceited, but also
Eric.
Bill Greeney says it's also court jester. So I don't know.
How can a court jester be conceited?
because the
court jester was the one who really had the king's ear. He could say and do anything he wanted to the king. So maybe that brought on a level of conceit because he was better than all the common folk.
That could be.
He sold me on it. He didn't know the word, which is
ironic.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So,
all right, Eric,
all right,
what do you got?
Okay, so the numerical list of absentees: Edelman, Woodhead,
Edelman,
both of whom had ankle injuries in the game. Mayo, of course. Volmer, again. I don't feel good about him.
I'm with Paul Perillo. He was right 2.5 years ago. We never should have drafted him with a back.
Hernandez,
injury.
We said. Fat Albert and Mike Wright.
No Haynesworth either, huh?
No.
They're trying to hold him out. I think Haynesworth and Hernandez, I thought for sure they would come back.
Well, they might still. It's only Wednesday. He came back Wednesday of last week and missed Thursday, Friday. Maybe they're like, he can't make it through a full week, so
I'll
we'll
tell you
out
this.
Thursday.
According to Rex Ryan today, I think he'll be stunned if Haynesworth is not out there. So, I don't know. Maybe there's a little gamesmanship and you're trying to make
there's
him think they're
to
not going to play.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing is we have to read the injury report later. I mean,
somebody could pop up
as limited who, you know, these guys are reporting as wasn't out there for their 15-minute window, whatever it is. How'd Taylor Price look? Good. Yeah.
I don't know.
No.
The weather took a real turn for the worse. We went out there. It was a perfect autumn day. Nice, bright sun,
chilly.
Breezy. All of a sudden, this dark cloud just started coming right over, and then by
was
the end
Rodak
of practice,
out there?
It was... No, he wasn't here at all today.
Oh, that's why. You didn't have anybody to give you the weather updates.
Yeah. But
was it raining?
It started to as we were leaving.
Well, yesterday here, I don't know, we have people all over the world listening, but yesterday it was a weird day in New England. Up where Paul lives, they had like 5 inches of rain.
Yeah.
You did?
Did you see the updates?
Oh, yeah. They had like flood. People had to be rescued.
Yeah.
From flooding.
It's
Jana was one of them. She couldn't make it in.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I was 15 minutes later than I normally am, and you know, other people couldn't make it in from the same part of the state. I don't know.
Inside baseball here, folks.
You have a boat though. A canoe.
Right.
No, but it pockets of heavy rain.
The flooding was worse, by the way, when I got home.
Yeah.
It got to the rug, which is not good. But
some good news on the injury front. Razai Dowling was back at practice.
Okay. I had a feeling he was going out based on his comportment.
Yes, in the locker room. Yes, he was very conspicuous.
Yes.
Walking around, yeah. Not hiding from it. But so was Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah,
so
Andy already talked about him
showing off his knees.
Yeah.
The bee's knees.
And just three, well, there would have been four, but there were three black jerseys given out this week. Any guesses?
Hoyer.
No. Good guess, though.
Why is that a good guess?
I don't know. Jason Campbell was number
Vereen.
Eight. And
Ridley.
Yes, Vereen was
Vereen.
One.
Vereen.
I was
going to
go with
one.
A running back.
Yeah, I was trying to think one.
Well,
night.
The Vereen wouldn't be getting a lot of offensive stuff.
But you know what's funny? I was thinking practice squad. There's no running backs. Vereen is so I don't know why I didn't think of it. That's perfect.
But there is Paul Eric Catani. He's a running back on the practice squad.
I was thinking more.
But he's not one of them.
Fred had it perfect.
Right.
I can't take it away.
Okay,
yeah, I was
so Vereen
of an athlete.
Antoine Molden, who actually got a lot of run in that game. Not very good
run. Not good run.
But he got the practice jersey. And then Matt Copa.
At the Copa.
Practice squad O-lineman. Josh Victorian would have gotten one.
If he was still on the team.
He was still on the team, yeah.
Now, how do you know that?
Because I saw it hanging in his locker.
Well, he still has a locker.
He still had a locker, a nameplate, and gear in there. And one of the gear was the black jersey.
Hey, Josh, no hard feelings. Here's a black shirt.
Right.
He'll be back. You watch.
Probably. And actually, Kyle Love had one in his locker, but... Not out on the practice field.
Well, I didn't know that Edelman twisted his ankle.
I tweeted and reported it during the game.
I do say that the turf did have something to do with it because Kyle Love, Edelman, what's his name?
I guess they did call it a knee.
They called it an ankle.
They were working on his knee on the sidelines.
That's at least three people that I know of on the Patriots
that
turned their ankle.
Woodhead, I would say, is a possibility for turf, and Edelman would be... An interior lineman, I wouldn't say, had anything to do with turf.
Plus, if anything, it was looser, not tight.
No, but they had those seams, and they were dug up. We saw big,
but it's not like
big tufts of turf.
It's not like a turf seam. A natural seam gives way.
Yeah, and I think that interior linemen are not getting...
And your ankle goes down as you step on it.
Okay, that's a possibility.
You know?
But, yeah, it was in the fourth quarter. It was after Woodhead had hurt himself. And then we actually saw Edelman, all the media saw him, walking out of the locker room after the game, because, you know, the locker room was between the interview room, and I guess there was either a training room or an x-ray or whatever down the hall from there, so he had to pass through a gauntlet of reporters to get there. His ankle was taped. It was his right ankle, but he didn't appear to be limping at all. He wasn't under the aid of, you know, any trainers or anything. He walked there on his own, so
that's good.
A little surprising that he wasn't out there.
Did you guys
today,
mention
that? Not
Eric,
shocking.
Did you tell these guys who we saw while we were waiting to get into the locker room?
Magic Johnson.
Close.
Because he was there.
Did I see him?
I saw a tweet.
I said, look who's there.
Ken Stabler?
Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh.
I didn't see him.
And he said something to Fred, and Fred said something back, and he shook his head.
I did
not
see him.
When I came to you and said, do you want me to go into Brady?
Right.
He was standing right in front of you, and I looked at him, and he smiled at me. I took a double take, and he laughed at me.
That had nothing to do with the double take.
I didn't want
to.
You were standing right in front of him.
I didn't see him. I did not notice him.
And he was facing you. It was not like he had his back to you or anything.
Damn it.
What was so genuinely angry?
I would have said something to him.
I saw Samuel Jackson in Oakland.
We saw Mace Windu.
Who?
It was
Mace Windu from the new Star Wars trilogy,
oh.
Fred.
Oh, is that his name? Wow, yeah. That's bad for me.
I should know.
Him, huh?
Yeah. Oh, that's I am.
I'm
ticked.
With Eric. On
Does
that.
He have Twitter?
I would have joking around and said something to him.
Because in this Twitter day and age, I wonder if we could go to Samuel L. Jackson's Twitter feed and see if he tweeted, just saw a man with really fat shoulders. I giggled.
No, but he was down there, and
what was he doing there?
I don't know if he was waiting to see someone or something, but. You know, like, I went to you to say, should I go to...
Right.
And then I turned, and it was him, and I
You should have at least given me a...
You know,
but I always get annoyed when I find out there's someone famous, you know, and you get back from a game, and they're like, oh, so-and-so was out by the lot. I'm like,
really?
I didn't see her.
Oh, I would have put that
like,
in the
game notes.
Like, I
missed Giselle the first few... You know, long before Tom and Giselle got married, I missed Giselle a couple of times at games.
Did anybody
that everybody else
see
was
Michael
writing
Douglas?
About.
He was at the game, too?
No, and...
Fred, right?
Did anybody else?
Oh, I don't know. He just made it up.
I'm just wondering if there's a trend here, and he's imagining people.
Oh, at the like Jets game, you mean?
I remember seeing Kate Hudson at that Dallas
game.
Oh, wait,
we all definitely saw her. But we rode the elevator with us.
Yeah, that was awkward.
God,
I don't like feeling like I'm
not supposed
to be
pissed
somewhere.
Now.
Well, I was not like the San Diego awkward when all the chili.
I would have asked him to drop an MF for me.
It was kind of moving.
What are you doing at this, mother?
Sir, could you stop poking me with that thing?
The lotion in the basket.
Oh, I thought...
You should have at least
got
BS.
My attention to
it.
I wasn't there, but I'm calling BS. He's seeing things.
Like,
well,
sure
if I had done it, he would have seen me do that because
sure
he was literally
him?
Looking right at us.
Why didn't you take a picture? You took a picture of
I don't do that. I'm not one of those people.
Whoa, my God. That news guy you saw at the airport, you took
right.
a picture
the
of
Wolf
him.
That's a wannabe.
That was more of a joke.
But he's some jag, and you
don't
take one of Samuel Jackson?
That's why it was the joke. That's why it was a joke.
It was such a joke that he was incognito, like, under his armpit. Like,
Nikki, guess who I just saw? I'm going to send you the picture.
Ruined my day.
Yeah.
God, I feel terrible.
I mean, he was as far away from us as you and I right now.
And he saw that you saw him.
Oh, yeah, because I
what would you have done? Okay, give me what
you
would have done.
And then I turned to my right, and I went like that. And he laughed at me because he saw me take it, you know.
Because you're funny looking.
I might have walked by and went, hey, Samuel L. Jackson, how you doing?
That's a tasty burger, whatever.
I know who I am!
Yeah, would have quoted a line from one of his movies or something.
And he would have been like,
whatever.
Yeah, you're another loser.
Well, I usually preempt. I go, I bet you never heard that before.
Yeah.
So that's my second star encounter, first being Michael Douglas.
That no one else can verify.
Now, did Michael Douglas comment on your fat shoulders?
No,
he just giggled and walked away.
He didn't giggle.
No,
he just shook his head.
He was commenting on his fat shoulders, but Fred couldn't hear him.
Right.
So that's why he ended up walking away in disgust.
In disgust is right. He did. I disgusted Michael Douglas.
I think this is
any
in
chance
your
it
head.
Wasn't Samuel L. Jackson?
No, there's no chance.
Okay.
Was he wearing a Kangol? Because he likes to wear Kangols, too.
We need to ask.
What's a Kangol?
A Kangol is a brand of hat.
He had one of those hats on. Absolutely.
Turned backwards?
Backwards.
Then it might have been him.
Might have been. It was him.
Okay. Well, we didn't. I'm gonna have to ask our colleagues in the media who were all standing there too if they took
anybody
or
I know
anybody.
For, I know
one
for
one
a
guy.
Fact it was him.
Okay.
I know for a fact it was
all right.
Him.
All right.
Ask Gasper.
Please hope he's wrong. Please.
Chris would have noticed that.
Ramon from Texas writes in just a quick question for Andy. While watching the Lions Cowboys game, I heard the announcer say Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson just hooked up for another one. Immediately, I thought of Andy giggling like he does on the show. So I was wondering, Andy. When you are watching games and hear announcers say the QB just hooked up with a wide receiver or tight end, do you do your usual giggle, or is the giggle just part of the show?
Oh, no, I giggle a lot.
That's authentic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it depends.
Yeah.
I don't find that one overly giggle-worthy, but...
Hooking up.
Surprising.
God only knows what if the guy's name was Richard, he would have giggled.
Oh, Richard Johnson is hilarious.
No, well, it doesn't have to be Johnson. It could be Richard Smith.
How is it
laugh.
Hilarious, though, every single time since the fourth grade?
Right.
That's what I don't understand.
It's just the beauty of me. It's when you live,
when you live a happy life, Eric, the littlest things just kind of give you humor. And when you're negative.
And he's dealt with the littlest things for a long
talk
time.
Talk about black clouds looming overhead. I mean, you focus on the negative.
I'm just reporting facts.
Didn't
no one else saw it, though. It was just over you.
Oh.
All right.
Yay.
Let's see.
Apparently no emails to read the rest of the show.
Who's this?
I don't know.
Anyway, hi, Fred and guys. Tom handled, that'd be Brady, the New York reporter perfectly today. I bet he ate his lunch alone.
Didn't he, he end up kind of screwing the rest of the media,
yeah,
though?
Well, yeah.
Mary Paoletti was not happy.
He walked off.
Or yeah. Paoletti.
Campbell Paoletti. Getting bad public pub over the INT. Who expects a guy to rise up out of the ground? That's what happened. Chung was laying on the ground when Campbell looked there. All right. You still fire it. That was like a lob.
Yeah,
wait a minute.
Sure, you guys were in the stadium. He was laying on the ground.
He was laying on the ground.
He fell down and then he got up. He did.
But he was not like just getting to his feet when he caught the ball.
Yeah, it hit him.
The ball hit him in the chest.
Yeah, no, he was.
And by the way, I'm quoting Patrick.
No, he was up there when.
The larger question is, just because a guy fell down, you don't lob the ball 4 yards off the ground. You lob it where no one can,
absolutely,
or you fire it.
Yeah.
You pull a Rohan Davey and throw it as hard as you can.
I said to the guys in the press box, I thought Campbell didn't see him because he fell down and was just trying to throw it away.
That's a possibility.
But why would you throw it away?
Still, like, realized, it was too low.
It was too low.
Yeah. But I would never throw it away at a catchable level.
Low, high.
No, that was a bad move
enough.
By Campbell.
You would
never. That was the only reason
you
why
you would never throw it away
there.
At like half speed.
Couldn't think of any other reason.
That to me was the most egregious part of it. Okay, anybody can throw the ball a little bit lower than they intended to, but he tossed it like as softly as he could. It was almost like, I'm going to throw this away, but if anybody has any time to maybe dive over there, they're going to have time because I'm going to throw it as softly as I can.
Well, what it felt like to me is it's like he's never seen the league because you're allowed to just zing it out of the back of the end zone. You're
seen that called once.
Right, and it's like he feels like it's called all the time, and I got to make this look soft and like I'm not trying to throw it away.
I've seen intentional grounding called once on a ball that was thrown through the back of the end zone.
I don't think I've ever seen
this. I think it might have been on Jim Kelly. He threw one off the goalpost, and they called intentional grounding on him. Not the upright, just like the middle bar of the goalpost, crossbar.
Clearly, they never saw Rohan Davey play, because you'd hardly distinguish.
What else you got, Freddie?
Apparently nothing. He's struggling over there.
Struggling.
No, I got a ton of them. I'm just figuring out which one is the best one. Let's see.
I still go back to
Samuel L.
That
Jackson
thing.
Writes in. Says, I saw Eric.
Who wrote that? That's very good.
No, I just made that up.
Oh, I thought someone wrote in as Samuel L. Jackson. That was really good.
Gabe writes in, hey, guys, good win last night, minus the two huge plays that led to the last Raiders TD. I'm sure Bill killed them all week in the tape review. Going forward, I realize our secondary is going to struggle, but playing more of a zone D seems to be better suited for this group. I don't know how they're going to correct all the huge chunks of yardage they still give up, and with a struggling pass rush, I don't see it improving. Why do you think we haven't used more stunts on the D-line or blitzing corners or something than just bull rushes?
I don't think they're all bull rushes. I think they're just not getting around guys. I think that's part of it. And I think they have blitzed. I don't know the percentages. You'd have to look that up. But I think they've been somewhat aggressive.
If you want to look for something to be encouraged about, Andy brought this up yesterday. Andre Carter, at least on a couple of occasions, looked like he got the edge. Ended up behind the quarterback, but he got around the tackle,
got
held, put some pressure on the pocket. Mark Anderson, in very small numbers, seems to be doing the same thing from the other side. A lot fewer reps, but he's got two sacks. He had what in essence was a sack at the end of the game when he forced them to just throw the ball away as he was falling down. If you want to be encouraged, I would say that's something to be encouraged by. That's not bull rushing. That's good speed off the edge.
What is your over-under on Wilfork interceptions this year? I'm going with he is a vacuum, as Bill says. Would they expand his – he says, I'm going with. He doesn't put any in there. I don't think he's going to get any more.
Fred, I don't think he's going to get any more.
Is Razai Dowling going to play this week? Can these guys stay healthy? Well, Eric reported that he's back on the field.
So as long as he doesn't get hurt between today and
right.
I am a little surprised that Hernandez and Haynesworth both aren't on the field, but I still contend that they will play.
Wouldn't you rather they not rush him back like the Jets are doing with Mankle?
Well, maybe that's what they're not doing.
So are there more severe degrees of sprain for the MCL?
That's a good question.
Hernandez had a sprained MCL diagnosis.
There's 1, 2, and 3.
And there was 1 to 2 weeks.
Yeah, there's one,
there
two, on three.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Mayo gets one, and it's 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know that. I mean, that's just
the
what
reports.
They're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
But Hernandez, there were reports that it was 6 weeks. There was a report that was 4 to 6. There was 1 to 2.
1 to 2.
There might even been a difference.
Three to four.
Yeah.
And then 4 to 6.
You know, throw a dart and pick a number of weeks. And,
but there are degrees. That's part of the problem.
Right.
Right.
If the people who got the information didn't know it was a grade 1, 2, 3, then it's harder to say it's 1 to 2, 2
right,
to 3.
Right, because and Hernandez hurt himself and stayed in for like 3-4 plays. I think he wanted to come out, but it looked like they were in the hurry up.
Yeah,
and he
I
had
thought
no
he
choice.
Was strutting back.
Right.
That's a good point, and Mayo could not have played another play.
Somebody...
Well, now people are saying he did, that he got hurt plays earlier.
When he came out of the game, I'm saying, right. Yeah, he absolutely... See, I'm not sure.
You're talking about Mayo now?
Yeah.
Everybody, because people are showing two different plays. They're describing two different plays that he got hurt on, and maybe they're right. Maybe it was the first play that he was involved in the much ballyhooed tackle by Brandon Spikes.
It was three plays earlier.
Evidently, he was involved in that play, and that's when he got hurt. But he didn't go out until a play that went away from him,
right.
Mayo, and he was getting blocked, and then all of a sudden he just went down.
And was being attended to.
So maybe he did get hurt initially on the original
play. And tried
to
tough it out. And like.
We need Hernandez back for the sole reason that 85 just doesn't have time to get the system down. How much trust does Brady have in Ocho Cinco anyway? It only seems like he's in for a few plays early then disappears for the second half. What's up with that? Is that the plan going forward? Just use him sparingly and only in the first half. I'm going to say Pat's 31, Footsie's 23. What say
you? Fred will be pumped. That's under 24.
What say you for the over-under for our D's yardage against? I'll go with 512, unfortunately. I don't see improvement here for at least a couple more weeks.
I'll take the under.
Yeah, I'll take the under there.
You made the line pretty easy there.
Yeah.
But you'll be pumped. 31-23, Fred. You'll be doing cartwheels.
That's right. Anything 24 or less is what I'm looking for. All right.
What
let's
if they lose 24-17?
Huh?
What if they lose 24-17?
Then I'll be really upset.
Okay.
Huh? Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. Olivier is in Virginia.
Hello, Lawrence.
And he sent us the Belgium chocolate,
and they were yummy.
Thank you very much.
Chocolate.
There's some over here.
I'm glad you like them.
Yes, I especially like the white chocolate with the strawberry center. Mm-mm-mm.
Well, fantastic. I wanted to reignite the debate between dark and white. I'm glad I did that.
Hey,
quick thing. I listened to the podcast yesterday and I realized that, Andy was getting on Paul and Paul got defensive and to the point where I think someone made a comment about maybe having a Tampax commercial
going
on.
Yeah,
that was
and
Fred. That made that
yes,
happen.
He was Fred. And I realized that the reason why I think Paul is being sensitive is because during the social pregame show, we talked about his weight and he told me that he had to lose about 40 pounds. And then I mentioned that to my wife and she said, well, how does he look like? And so we went on the internet and we looked at your TV show and she said it was a gross exaggeration. So you don't need to lose 40 pounds.
Oh, good.
No, she said 30 would do.
Well, you tell your wife I said thank you anyway.
I'm glad you liked it. I just wanted you to enjoy something good to eat.
Oh, thank
so, you. I haven't listened to this show, unfortunately, because I'm still at work, but, I just wanted to get your feedback. Do you think we're going to see Ainsworth and we're going to see, a production from the defense against the Jets?
Well, Eric just reported that, he came from practice.
Hi, Eric. Nice to meet you, finally.
Yes, you too, Olivier. Thanks for the chocolates. I'm enjoying them right now.
Ainsworth.
I hesitated to send you like a sweatshirt or something that you wouldn't wear, but I thought the chocolate would be better.
Chocolate was a good
well
move.
Well done.
Well done, my friend.
Maybe the two of you can meet after the show. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow, Fred's getting upset.
Now who needs the Tampax commercial?
No, but Eric reports that Ainsworth was not at practice. So,
And I can confirm.
And I am... But I
wasn't out there.
But Olivier...
Neither was I, but I'm just going to say it. That's what they do.
I am contending that he will play.
Okay.
You think so?
I think so.
Well, we're all in agreement.
Now, the next question is, will he play well?
I think he will.
I cannot confirm that.
Well, hopefully Ellis also shows up.
Yes, that would be nice. As I said to Paul, he used to be the Patriot killer, and now he's killing the Patriots from the inside.
Yeah, exactly.
Ainsworth is going to turn Mangold into Mangirl.
Hopefully he's not a poison gift.
I thought it was
going
to go
to us by
Mang Silver.
You think so? He's a Trojan horse?
Perhaps.
Okay.
That would be, imagine
he's
that.
The embedded jet.
Yeah. That would be a good plan.
You like that?
Yeah.
Rex Ryan would pull one over on us.
Eric liked that one, Fred. That must have been a cerebral joke.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, well, I'm happy to please for once.
Okay,
thank you,
Jack of
Pops.
For the chocolate, Olivier.
Thanks, Olivier.
Jack and Ape.
John
Olivier
here.
Sent us some chocolates.
Hey, John.
Hey, Fred.
Belgian chocolates.
Ooh, really?
So you survived from Nitpick Tuesday to work.
We survived.
To work. Now, what is Wednesday?
It was to be
winning
continued
Wednesday?
At the end.
Winning Wednesday. Wednesday is Focus Wednesday.
Focus.
It doesn't rhyme. There's no alliteration, but you focus on the next
refocus.
Yeah, we refocus. Got to refocus. That's right.
Right.
Refocus Wednesday. Mm.
You know, that's exactly.
Now I heard Tuesday. I heard today at like 2:45. You got Adam Schefter.
Yeah, Adam Schefter, NFL insider from ESPN, is going to join us and
tweeting in the process.
Can you ask him a question? There was some rumor slash controversy that there may have been a fake tweet involving him last night that said
Ocho was being cut or had been cut.
Can you just ask him if he'd caught wind of that? What it was? Just the story.
Yeah.
Tell the tale.
Yeah.
Speaking of tweets,
also ask him if he stands on a box when he does all his stand up.
Probably. Yeah.
Probably don't have to ask. Him.
So Adam Schefter's coming up at 2:45 on the playbook.
Also, Bob Wischusen, who's the radio voice of the Jets, he's coming on.
Oh, Bob Wischusen.
Well, God bless you.
Yeah. Yes.
No chance. Yes. Paul would say that.
What time will he be coming up?
The poor guy from Oakland.
2:15. So it's right a jam packed playbook, and then at 4:00, Charlie Casserly will be on with Pete Shepard.
5:00.
Well, the show starts at 4.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, but Charlie Casserly will come on around in the 5:00 hour.
That's a good
with
get.
With Pete Shepard.
The weatherman.
And Charlie has a new Twitter account he wants to plug.
He also, what is that guy he likes to play on the NFL Network? He wears the turban thing. And,
Karnak?
Yeah, Karnak.
Right.
Ask him to do one question.
Carson character. You can't steal that.
Yeah, he has.
Well,
he dresses up and he does
but
the whole
shit. But it's not stealing if it's for people like Andy who don't know who Johnny Carson is.
I know who Johnny Carson is. I don't
Andy
know why.
Andy probably conceived while his parents were watching Johnny Carson.
I'm uncomfortable now.
Wow.
All right.
You just throw the name Richard in there and he laughs.
So a lot coming up on Patriots.com radio playbook and then Pete Shepard. We'll be back tomorrow at noon.
At noon. Tomorrow.
At noon.
Tomorrow.
I feel
Thursday.
The master. I feel we
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.